The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Drive
me! Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here for another big off-season episode. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Webradio at Patriots.com is the way you email us, and you phone us by the
phone.
The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's how you participate in this show.
Participate. We're going to enunciate.
Right off the top, guys, I guess free franchise tag season has started. Yesterday.
Has it? The 2 weeks.
If
a season starts and nothing happens, did it really start?
So the question is, will the Patriots use it? And if they do, who will they use it on? And the three names, of course, are Vollmer, Tlaib, or Welker.
Won't be Welker.
And according to one Ron Borges and National Football Post, which basically took it from Ron Borges, the Patriots will not be using their tag on Wes Welker. According to a source intimate with the Patriots' way of thinking.
Right.
Which really could be anybody, right?
Right.
Could be you.
Yeah, so
I'm
sure based on that report I'm ready to rule that out.
I'm not, because we were just talking about it off the air. I find it funny that, we say buried the lead. That's news. If you know they are not going to tag
Explain what you're talking about.
Then you don't write it in, and I've been saying the fifth paragraph. I don't know exactly where it was, but it was down the story.
Yeah.
It was not the very first line, because that's a news story. That's not a column, I think this. He has knowledge from somebody who's intimate, however that means, in what way.
Right.
And that's my other issue. You know, anybody in the world could be intimate. You know, could be from the agent's side. They told, the team told him, we're not going to franchise you. Well, maybe that's just a negotiating ploy.
Right.
Who knows what that is? But you don't bury that news in a column. You that's a news story.
So in Borges' story, he didn't mention that the Patriots won't use the tag until like the fifth paragraph.
Yeah, wherever it was well down.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I know this. Well, if you know this, no one else has reported that. That's news. That's called news. You work for a newspaper.
Well, that tells me he's not confident.
Pussyfoot.
Either he's not confident in his source, this source that's so intimate with the knowledge of it, or he wants to pussyfoot around it, and if he's wrong, then he's hoping that, people, it was so far in the story,
right,
that people won't remember it and bring it up later.
Because to me, that's a back page Herald.
That's
Pats
a,
won't tag Welker. Right there. Boom. Back page of the Herald. Right?
That seems to be the main.
That's news.
Yeah. Now, the story otherwise was just that it would be a shame if they don't keep him.
Ripping him for pussyfooting through the negotiations. If he wanted to get paid, he had to act, sit out, be not just take a, quote, leap of faith and hope everything works out.
Yeah. Paul?
That sums it up.
I don't know. I think Welker is still in a pretty good place. I mean, look at what could happen. He just made $9.5 million. Mm-hmm. If he gets franchised, he makes over $11 million, okay?
But that won't happen.
If he doesn't get, franchised, he's a free agent. He's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right, but he could be in a better place. Had he signed a deal 2 or 3 years ago as a younger receiver, he would have got more money.
Yeah, two or three years ago.
He's more than likely not going to be in a better place than he
would have been if he got the long-term deal last year.
Now, and where Borges I disagree
is,
with...
Borges is intimating that the way to get the long-term deal last year was to be the bad guy and not take
But
the,
even
the
last year, to me, yes, he could have, but he was already old. And we've talked about this before. I think he got screwed by the knee injury, the timing of the knee injury. Mm-hmm. Because I think after that season would have been the time to kind look to do a deal.
Yeah.
But now you're coming back from a knee injury, and then the year after that, you had a down season. You only had, whatever it was, 80 catches coming back from a knee injury.
Which is still a great season.
But not for him.
But for most receivers.
For what he needs to really put his foot down and say, I need a deal. So he kind of lost two whole years in there in the prime of his late 20s negotiating power.
Right.
And I don't really think Ron touched on that in the story. He's just basically saying last year he should have put his foot down. Well,
you know, but
last year he was already old. Age was a consideration last year.
Right. And, you know, he could have. But, you know, who knows how much he would have lost from doing that. And, you know, at the end of the day, he's probably going to be guaranteed to make about $20 million over the last 2 years.
I would think.
Plus some.
Yeah, but that's less than he would have gotten.
Right. He would have gotten more.
He would have gotten more long term. But he wouldn't have gotten more
in
those 2 years.
Right. He would have gotten more than 20.
He would have gotten more first 2 years and more long term.
Yeah.
Because he'd still be playing the salaries.
I don't know if a team would have guaranteed $20 million in the first 2 years.
Well, I don't know about guaranteed, but he would have gotten more money.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's he could have gotten cut after year one, but he would have gotten a double digit signing bonus.
He probably would have played at least 2 years wherever he signed.
Right. He would have gotten a double figure signing bonus, more than $10 million signing bonus.
And
would
two
you
seasons
agree?
Worth of.
But
of
spread out how over how many years?
At once.
Okay.
You get a signing bonus when you sign.
Yeah,
signing
it's just,
bonus.
It's just so, an accounting
you can
move.
Not to play the role of
ding,
Andy Hart.
Ding, ding.
No, but
that was very Andy Hart. When it was coming out of my mouth, I sound just like Andy.
But the team prorates that over the life of the contract. I know you get it in a lump sum as a player.
Your accountant doesn't prorate it,
but
he gets it
immediately.
Right.
So the first 2 years would have been the signing bonus plus whatever his two base salaries were for the first 2 years. Chances are that would have been more than $20 million.
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If he had signed a long-term deal with somebody,
if he had gotten $9 million a year, $10 million, let's just say $9 million just to be conservative. Over two seasons, that's $18 million. And then his signing bonus would have been probably half of whatever the long-term contract deal was, which was
$40 million with $20 million.
He would have probably gotten $40 million.
I mean, let's just say he got a $12 million signing bonus. And then that's all it would have taken was a $4 million salary to make it.
He would have gotten
$20 million
$30 to $35 million probably in the first 2 years.
He would have gotten paid more, and he's still going to get paid now. Don't
and
get
I,
me wrong.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying
he got lucky.
He's still going to make money,
right?
You know?
Yeah, he got lucky. He stayed healthy as a franchise player. A lot of guys
and was productive, not just stayed healthy. He was. You know, it's his 100 catches again.
A lot of guys don't do that.
Had things turned out differently, maybe we'd be talking about a different story.
Had other guys not stayed healthy, he'd be in line to make nothing this year.
Or if Edelman, you know, was the player they thought he was.
No, but if they stay, if Hernandez doesn't get hurt,
he was. They
maybe
were forced
he stays
to
a backup all year.
Maybe he doesn't get 100 catches.
What are you rolling your eyes for?
I know why he's rolling his eyes the same way that we are.
Right.
But it's plausible, right? I mean, based on what we saw, had those guys not gotten hurt, who knows?
Yeah. And that's another reason why guys don't like signing franchise tags, because they don't have control of how they're going to be productive.
You can get jerked around a little.
Yeah.
I also wonder what his market will be. Let's say he doesn't get tagged. He's a free agent. He's looking around. I wonder how many teams are going to just fall for, he's a 100-catch receiver. We need to sign him because we need a receiver, as opposed to looking at it and saying, well, he's in a certain system with one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and there are the injury concerns to the other playmakers, so he's getting his chances to get 100. Would he get 100 catches with us? Probably not. I wonder how many teams who need a receiver would look at it that way.
I think he'd have.
If he doesn't, 20. It's because the quarterback stinks.
Well, I just wrote. I just wrote three places: Manning, Schaub, and Matt Ryan. You're going to tell me any one of those three wouldn't salivate over the idea of having Wes Welker?
Right.
I mean, and Dimitroff. You know, in Atlanta might even make that more sensible.
Well, to me, I think his market is small. Because there aren't that many teams that have a great quarterback that he could just move right in and do that.
Stafford. Yeah, you're going to put him with Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford.
That would be a good one.
I like your Houston one because I haven't heard a lot of Houston, and I think that's...
I assumed that was just a likely one.
I think that's a really, really, really good one.
But to me, that's four right there that...
Well, okay.
That's he might want to go to.
Weapons. Now, to answer Eric's question, he doesn't have to catch 100 balls somewhere. The question that I think people are going to have to ask themselves, the decision makers around the league, can he be a valuable guy in our offense even if he doesn't catch 120 passes?
Right.
And that's what you're going to have to figure out.
And the answer is yes.
You know, targets.
And I think,
and, you know,
I think
the answer
think
is you
be
become
so.
Troy Brown,
yeah.
who may only catch 70 or 80, but a high percentage of those are first downs on third down and things of that nature.
You know, if his average per catch raises by a yard, and maybe he catches the same amount of touchdowns, maybe 80 catches is better than 120
right,
for
right.
somebody
and
else.
And his yards per, I mean, look at Atlanta. If you're playing with Roddy Wright and Julio Jones, and, I mean, is Gonzalez officially retired?
Dimitrov says 50-50.
But say you're the fourth option. Or, okay, you're not going to get your 120 balls there. Not even close. But all of a sudden, your yards per catch could jump up because those guys are running off coverage.
Harry Douglas is a pretty important part
right.
of that offense, and Wes Welker is probably better than Harry Douglas.
And they wanted Harry Douglas to be Wes Welker.
Right.
They said that when they drafted him.
So I admit I didn't read the Borges column, but did he say what the Patriots would be inclined to do? He said they wouldn't use the tag, but are they working on a deal, or are they going to let him walk?
No, he basically said they're going to play hardball with him.
But they can only
Squish
do that
him.
Up until a certain time.
Oh, no, it sounds like they're going to let him get to free agency and then try to get him after whatever he gets
what was,
for an offer.
He had a snide way of putting it, as Borges so often does.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we like him.
Yeah. I forgot he had like a witty spin of words, and basically they're going to take advantage of him. They're going to squish him.
Listening to
the way he said it.
Gresham Zoe today as I was driving in, they were talking a lot about the offense in general. And it sort of made me wonder, Fred, when you just mentioned that, did it say what the Patriots were going to do? It sort of makes me wonder if some of these guys, and we know Zoe, you know, he's the color guy for, on the Sports Hub now. So he's
color.
He's got,
I'm not sure. When I drive in, it's Dennis and Callahan. So
well, I know, but
a little earlier,
I had an appointment today.
I'm only kidding.
Done, so I was.
Did you listen to Pedro?
I should.
Sorry
probably,
to cut you off.
I should explain that. That's why I
Pedro was
so
horrific. He's going into coaching, so he tries to bring up one of his whatever the coaches call him. Analogies or whatever, and he's talking about how he never looked at his stats. It was always the next start and always improving. And he goes, it's like, you know, D'Lo and I used to talk about, you're always rowing. You're rowing. When you row, all you do is look back to where you've been. That is a terrible analogy. That is how you row. You go backwards, right? So all you're doing is looking at your past.
Yeah. It depends on what
kind of
boat you're in.
If you're rowing crew, you're going forward.
If you're rowing, though. If you're rowing
like
this.
No, that's true. Because
only you paddle forward, you row back. What'd you say?
The coxswain.
I've never doubted that the coxswain.
Anyway.
But it's a terrible analogy.
We'll talk about Pedro later, which I that's a head scratcher in and of itself that they signed it.
Otherwise,
anyway.
He was very good.
But what were we talking
about? But when you brought up the, you know, you wonder, did Borges say what the team is planning on doing? They're not planning on tagging him. What are they planning on doing?
Right.
And I was listening to Gresham Zoe, and they were talking a lot about the stuff that we've been talking about. Is it time maybe to sort of change the philosophy on offense and maybe get away from the centerpiece is Welker? And, you know, do you need to improve on the outside? Do you need a different kind of outside guy? They were talking about Lloyd in much more glowing terms than we have, to be sure. But it sort of made me wonder when you brought that up, Fred, are these guys talking to anybody who might know what the Patriots right. are going to do? And
wait,
maybe
what were they saying about Lloyd?
That he, you know, basically he's a 75,000-yard guy last year, and that's what number two guys, that's a good number two.
No, but if they're saying they changed the offense and they like Lloyd, are they going to throw more to Lloyd?
That's the problem, is whether or not they throw, it's I don't have confidence in him in big spots.
Right.
This gets back to your playmaker thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have confidence in Welker. I have confidence in Gronk. I don't have confidence in Lloyd.
I agree.
His catches seem to be extraneous.
And he did nothing to earn your confidence.
Yeah. I agree. But what they were talking about is maybe the Patriots have something. You know what they sort of talk about in abstract terms? Maybe the Patriots are thinking dot, dot, dot.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of think to yourself, I wonder if he's just throwing it out there the way we often do. Or if they're talking to someone and they maybe have an idea of what they might be doing.
And the way Fred often does.
And they can't say it outright, so they're saying... Hmm,
and that's why when Fred just said that, did it say what they were going to do? Now I'm thinking of the Borges story. Now I'm thinking of this. Maybe some guys are talking to people in the know. We took a shot. We were turned down, we should say. We tried to maybe get a little meeting with the coach, and we were politely declined. But I think the way they were talking, they sort of thought, maybe they're going to surprise us, and they have something in free agency like a Greg Jennings, a bigger, higher-profile free agent kind of signing than we're used to with the Patriots. That and Greg Jennings was the guy they brought up.
With a bad groin.
Well, and I also thought it was funny.
I'm sorry, I'm being gorgeous.
It was funny the way he said
Eugene Wilson bad groin or real bad groin?
Well, he missed a lot of
He only played like five games last year.
And he's aging.
I know.
But they talked about...
I don't think they haven't tried the out... I mean, Joey Galloway was an outside receiver. They've tried various ways. Now, Jennings is a much higher echelon guy.
They haven't tried a guy that was sort
But to
of...
me, the real try would be like Mike Wallace. Okay, now you're all in on a young guy. You're
Dwayne
saying,
Bowe is the guy I would be all in on.
Dropsies?
There you go. Now he's back to Borges. But they made a comment. I think Gresh made a comment. We remember, you know, when they made the mistake with Chad Jackson, they really liked Greg Jennings.
I thought they really liked Chad Jackson.
If they, I mean, yeah, did I say, who did I say
no.
made a mistake with?
No. I'm arguing with Gresh,
okay,
not
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I mean, didn't they have a chance to draft Greg Jennings,
right.
and they took Chad Jackson
They took the
instead?
Special pick, who they were going to take at 21.
Because Jennings
but
was
he
available.
Luckily slid to the 30s.
Jennings was available
right.
when they took
it was the
Chad
next
Jackson.
Pick, wasn't he?
I believe
that
so.
Was
that,
was that was obviously a swing and a miss.
Right.
Yeah. No, but to say that they really liked Greg Jennings and they took Chad Jackson, well, they had an opportunity to take Greg Jennings if they really
That's
liked
like saying
him.
They really liked Carlos Dunlap, and then they took Jermaine Cunningham.
Well, right. but, yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Wait, what?
At the time,
if you really liked Greg Jennings, then draft Greg Jennings.
Right?
He's
well,
available.
He was, I mean, it could have been, you know, in their
the
minds, it could have been one or the
Either
other.
The next
and
pick
they
or
just
four
well,
pick.
It's
it
not
very
like,
close.
Like as a point of comparison, there's also a lot of talk to Percy Harvin stuff.
Right.
And I thought Karen had a really good piece on that on Sunday. I don't know if you read Karen.
Didn't.
Grigian. She went out to Minnesota right after we traded him. Right after we traded Randy Moss, not him.
Oh,
Randy
yeah.
Moss. And coincidentally not talked to Percy that. Harvin. And a lot of quotes about how much he thought the Patriots were going to take him at the time. He was convinced. Belichick worked him out the day before the draft, personally. He was really convinced, and Minnesota took him the pick before us. 22, I think we were 23, and then we ended up trading down into the second
round.
That would
be a good sign that we were thinking of taking him.
Right. Yeah. That, you know, that would be – they really liked Percy Harvin, but – he got taken the pick before us. We
right.
didn't have a chance to
right.
get him.
Right.
You know, not, you know, we really like Greg Jennings.
Well, the
there.
Only thing is they
and we took a wide receiver.
Well, yeah, they took another wide receiver. So it might have been 1A and 1B. And,
but they were supposedly, yeah. they said they were considering him at 21. So they really like Chad Jackson.
Okay. No, yes.
Let's not have yeah. revisionist history.
Oh, absolutely.
Say.
I mean, come on.
Now, are you guys buying the reports from Percy Harvin's camp are that he it's not about money. He's not worried about money.
Yeah.
Just,
it's about the way
system.
They use him. It's the way they use
Are you
him
buying
in Minnesota.
That?
No.
I don't buy what any receiver says except Wes Welker.
But I still want Percy Harvin, by the way.
Well, but no, what I'm asking,
but
there's
I'm
a difference
that.
Between trading for Percy Harvin and giving him an extension or just trading for him and only having him for 1 year, and then he says, oh, actually, I'm looking for $100 million, so I'm
that's
out.
That's what he's saying. I mean, that's the words that he's using is the $100 million.
Right.
Too.
And that's
and
the other
the
thing.
Way,
how I'm used is directly related to how I'm paid.
I'm not.
You know?
I'm not willing to pay him that kind of.
No
money.
Way.
You know. So
you know the $50 million, the standard bearing wide receiver contract. You know, $50 million. I'll give him that. I know
I
you
know
wouldn't
if I'd give him that.
I would give him that. I wouldn't give him the Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald contract because he's not that guy.
You know. So if you're the Patriots, we like
we
to think we're somewhat intimate with how they think. We certainly have enough evidence.
We didn't even eat yet. By the way.
I know.
Are we interested in ordering?
Should we
what
get
are you
Junior?
Burping?
Should we get Junior to order for
Probably
us?
Probably air.
Do you even have a cup
no.
over there?
You know, we've covered the team long enough to see the history of how they've handled these things, and it varies, obviously. There's a lot of things that take into consideration, namely his age. What would you do? What would you do?
With Wes Welker?
With Wes Welker.
I'd sign him. I think he can sign him.
At the market rate?
For him. I would convince him of the market. No. To me, if he wants to compare himself to young guys getting $50 million, then he's not going by the market rate. If he wants to sign a market rate deal, which in my opinion is $30 million-ish, you know what? What did Bolden get?
Would you give him four for 32?
Yes,
$8 million.
It might be a golden parachute. I don't know.
That's what I thought last year would have.
It's the same as we talked about last year. 32 to 36 million. He's a year older, so maybe it's a little lower. I don't know, but I think you can sign that. I don't think you're gonna regret that or it's going to ruin your whole team in 3 years or anything. I think that deal is doable.
But
so
do
I'd
think,
sign him.
But do you think someone else is going to offer him 4 years, $50 million? Or
well,
I
or
don't.
Four years, I don't think he also wants or, that. I think if you offered him 432 today, now this is just my speculation.
To be
sign
here?
Him.
Yes. You think he would?
I think he wants to be here. I think he
too.
Likes Brady. I think he likes
I
it here.
Too.
I think he likes the environment. I think he wants to be here.
I think that's the high end of what he would get. And I don't think that someone would offer him four for 50. And if they did, then I can't say the Patriots would make a mistake.
But you beat them to the punch. You offer your 4 and 32, sign it, and it doesn't matter what other team was going to offer.
I get the impression that they're going to let him go to free agency, and they're going to do the whole just, you know, talk to us.
Give us the right keep of refusal.
Keep us in the loop. Talk. It's a dangerous way to play. Mm. But I think that's the way they're going to try to go.
Then I think he could get more than they want to pay.
Yeah.
I think he could get 4 years, $40 million or something, and they'll go, ooh.
I think he could be gone.
Can't do that.
Oh, I think there's a chance he could be gone. I absolutely do.
Now, I found it interesting that Mike Reese, who's also been covering the team a long time, is now speculating the team will not use its tag on anyone. That all this, you know, is it Tlaib, is it Vollmer, is it what, that they won't use it on any of them because they don't want to pay the 9.5 to 10.5 to 11.5 million that it would cost for any one of them.
You can make an argument that that tag is overpaying for each of those three guys.
Sure, for 1 year.
Certainly for the two.
But to me, that's underpaying. If you can
Tlaib
lock it into
and Vollmer,
a year.
I think.
Well, Tlaib, I'm not so sure it's overpaying on the 1 year for a short-term commitment to a number one corner. Now, he may be the 26th number one corner or second, whatever. However you slot him, he's a number one corner. And those guys essentially make $10 million a year. So
the problem with all three of these guys, well, I don't know if it's a problem, but the question with all three of these guys is, can they be replaced? If you don't have them, can you replace them?
Great question. If you do,
do you end up just spending that same money anyway?
And who's the least replaceable would be the question. Who's the hardest to replace?
Right.
I think that answer is easy. It's Tlaib.
Tlaib.
You've struggled to replace anyone
you
know, in that
if
corner.
You can't replace him, like, you know, you can say all you want, oh, well, they'll just draft a guy. Well, you know darn well they can draft a cornerback in the first round and he's not going to come in and have that type of production. Whatever you think Tlaib
did. He might in the first year. The second year is the one I worry about.
Yeah. Whatever the case is.
I know what you mean.
So the question is, you know, if you don't spend the money on Tlaib, can you replace him?
No.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like, are you cutting off your nose despite your face?
You can. There's a chance.
You can, especially if you think
but they've struggled.
Alphonso Dennard is
out
left corner worthy.
Yeah.
Then you move him over there and you try to sign. There are plenty of free agents who are capable number two guys, I think.
Brent Grimes?
I think those guys get overpaid.
Really? So you're saying right now that Dennard is a number one?
I'm saying if that's how the Patriots feel, they could do that.
That's a big leap.
But what if you just keep Dennard at two on the right side and you sign one of these guys that's available?
But that's my point. Okay, so now you're signing a guy to a number one corner. Aren't you going to be paying him as much as you would have paid Tlaib?
But do you think he's better than Tlaib?
Oh, I don't know. Who are we talking about?
Do you think he's more reliable than
Tlaib? Talking about Ben Grimes or
Brent? Ben Grimes. And I wasn't talking about
anybody. There is a Ben Grimes, isn't it? I thought
it's Brent.
But there was
somewhere. I guess there's a Ben Grimes.
Yeah, like there's a Rodney Mayo.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Ben Gaines. Ben Gaines used to intern with us.
There we go. And it all comes full circle. I don't know specifically which guy you're talking about, but to me, if Tlaib didn't have the questions, we wouldn't be having these discussions. The questions are, can he stay healthy? And is he reliable? And I don't think that the Patriots are comfortable with either one of those answers yet.
Well, I think there's also questions of how good he is.
Well, yeah. There certainly is.
Our discussion from the other day, just because he's the fifth best corner, you know, the drop-off from one and two or whatever is huge. I agree. I think Ron may have written this, somebody, you know, we thought he was good in part because it had been oh so bad. Anytime you see somebody who's at least competitive, you're like, whoa, this guy can play. That's how you're supposed to play corner. You're supposed to be competitive more than they've been for the last two or three
years.
And
what I would also like to see is, regardless of their personnel, try to play a little bit closer to the style they played when Tlaib was out there and see just how bad it would be. How much of a drop-off would it be? If McCourty was playing left corner, like he was at the start of the season, and they said, okay, Devin, you're just going to take the other team's top guy. That's going to allow us to do A, B, and C. How much worse would it be?
A, B.
Do you think it would be that much worse, really, than Tlaib? Because you were very unimpressed with Tlaib.
I was,
in the seven
but not as unimpressed as I was with McCourty.
So you can't
over
play
over the last year and a half.
You know, is there no argument to be made that it might make McCourty's job easier? Like Ty Law used to say?
I don't think his job was that hard in Baltimore this year when Joe Flacco was dropping back three steps and throwing it up.
Don't misunderstand me. I'm not using revisionist history and saying McCourty was better. We were very critical of McCourty's play both last year and
I think McCourty
this year.
Forgot how
but
to
see,
cover.
But see, I don't think you can do what you say, Paul.
You might not be able to.
Without upgrading safety. I think one of the reasons why maybe you were more comfortable with Tlaib doing what he did is because you had a smart guy in McCourty
back there. And that gets you to the draft where Motormouth Mayock, who, by the way, I think is still conducting his conference call from yesterday,
seriously,
says this is a generational safety draft. This is a great safety crop.
But so you have to upgrade the safety if you obviously if you move McCourty back to corner and or want to take chances with anyone. You got to have good safety play, obviously. And I think, you know, again, that gets into that whole evaluation of last year about how good was Tlaib, or was that part of the upgrade moving McCourty to safety?
Well, it also has to do with Tavon Wilson. How good was that pick? How good is he going to be? Can
right.
he play?
Yep.
I mean, as a second-round pick in year two, he should be battling for a starting job.
He should be.
So if he's starting next to Devin McCourty, you have safeties. Or if he's starting in McCourty, whatever, you yep. have safeties.
Yep.
But I think all of us have some doubts on Wilson and what he's going to be. Is he going to be a reliable starting safety next
yeah.
year? The other problem with Mayock, and I love how New England people look at things. I didn't hear the conference call, but apparently he said
I 5
to 25, he doesn't see a lot of difference in this draft. It's a deep draft that lacks elite talent is sort of the MO. Oh. You know that's the case when a guard is being considered for the number one overall pick. And somebody takes the 5 and 5 and 25 are similar to, so the Patriots could trade down. Time out. Shouldn't they be trading up from 29 to get one of the good guys? Not, I mean, there's a clear, he picked 25 for a reason. There's some sort of a drop-off there at 25. Shouldn't the mentality be, if that's where all the good players are, I need to trade up to get into the 5 to 25 range?
Yeah. I also like
not
the,
necessarily trade
the
down.
Mentality yeah. of.
And you don't have to trade up that far.
And right. I don't know specifically if Mayock used this term. He may have. But they're all glomming onto it. There are no difference makers.
Yeah, great. And that's all we need.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
It's
I mean,
typical.
I don't get, there's difference makers in every draft. You just have to find out which ones they are.
And there's at least one in this draft.
You know, Bill says
he didn't
that
play
all...
last year because he's a druggie, but don't tell me that Honey Badger is not a difference maker as a player.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
I mean,
people are getting
he's a fifth-round pick or whatever.
Yeah,
but...
people are getting more and more down on him as time goes by. But
I mean, I don't know how you can fall off the planet, though. You have an issue. You have off-field issues. You didn't play. You're a druggie. That's a problem. But don't tell me he wasn't a playmaker,
just,
right?
Just to pick guys, the corner from Alabama, D. Milliner.
Yes.
Are you telling me that he can't be a difference-making player? Like, you know that right now. He's not a difference-maker. And I'm not putting this on Mayock as much as I am sort of the reaction to how he described, like you said, there's not really a huge difference between 5 and 25 or whatever. There are going to be a handful of great players in this draft.
Oh, there's Hall of Famers.
There are, Bill says this to us every year. There are always great players in every draft.
Darrell Revis was not a difference-maker coming in.
Exactly.
He's a difference-maker now, right? He's considered the best.
A lot of people thought, though, he was
that he was
special.
Solid.
He was
what number? What
got,
number corner
why
was
he? Get
he?
Taken in the top
why wasn't
five?
He the first no. corner then? Why wasn't he a top five pick if
Ooh,
he was,
was
so
he?
Great?
Top 10?
No,
what was
16? I think
it was 15 or 16.
Right there,
like
the Jets Which, traded up to get him, and we were reportedly interested in maybe trading up to get him. But don't tell me that he was the difference maker right. he is now, because if he was, he would have gone in the top five, like Joe Hayden.
Speaking
and these
of
guys.
2006, who were the good draft picks in 2006? I ran across a full Topps football card set in the attic, and I'm wondering if there's any good rookie
you
cards
have
in there.
The Topps 2006 football set.
Yeah,
why?
You were a grown man. What are you doing?
No, it wasn't for me. It was probably for the kid. But I
for the kid,
you know, he doesn't care.
That was the Maroney draft.
Yeah,
right?
But I'm not talking about Patriots.
I know, I'm saying that was picks.
That was
Maroney,
Maroney
and Chad Jackson.
He was 2006
yeah.
and Jackson. Yeah, that was 2006.
Reggie Bush,
Mario Williams,
Mario Williams,
Mario Williams.
Mario Williams was one.
He was
Reggie
just a free agent last
overall,
year, 5 years
then
later.
Bush was two.
Okay.
Right.
Vince Young. So you got nothing.
Nothing really?
No.
Just my luck.
I'm trying to think. I
Mint
can't.
Condition, 2006.
Yeah, it's still in the box. They're still, it's still.
Wow.
Yeah.
We haven't named a quarterback yet.
Too bad you didn't have last year's draft class.
Well, Vince Young, yeah. Matt Leinart.
That would have been a good one.
That year, 2006.
You got nothing there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
298-0398
is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Are we going to get some food?
Good Lord.
I guess so. I don't know.
You're not hungry?
We should hurry.
I ate.
You ate?
I brought a cheese sandwich.
Oh.
A cheese sandwich?
Love a good Miracle Whip and cheese sandwich. I'm sure Strippers is mad right now.
American cheese?
Kevin Conn.
Yeah.
What's that face all about?
Kevin almost threw up.
What's wrong with a little mayo and cheese?
No. Miracle Whip.
Well, it's the same.
No,
whatever.
No. Huge
no,
difference.
All right, salad dressing
huge,
and one mayonnaise.
No, Miracle
right,
Whip, mayonnaise. Not the ghetto salad dressing.
Sure.
Miracle Whip.
Right. That stuff that's all basically the same and cheese.
No,
that's
very
all, that's,
different.
It's very good.
Hellman's I don't know
tastes
what,
very different than Miracle
yeah,
Whip. Miracle Whip is sweet.
Tangy.
Yeah. It's got a little tang. It's got even got little red specks in it of some sort of like...
some byproduct.
Acid.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not natural. Like mayo is like egg and oil or something that they whip up.
Hiyo, I'd be interested in food if you want to order.
I don't know if anyone's noticed, but this is at least the third time. Paul would like food.
Well, I didn't realize that you had filled up on a cheese sandwich.
And Miracle Whip.
And well, I know Eric has
You want me to bring in something so you guys can write down what you want? Or how do you want to do it?
Paul will have something really fattening.
I'll have a large Italian with no tomatoes.
Don't you? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a couple people on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Emails are coming in. We'll get all to that when we come back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, a tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you have a hang-up?
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We're here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots. It's franchise tag open season, and we're trying to figure out what the Patriots are going to do with theirs, if they do anything. We don't know. They may not do anything with it.
If you had to say.
What's the deadline there?
March 4th.
And then the new season starts March 5th?
The 12th.
The 12th. A week from
the 9th begins negotiations.
Okay.
Which is a new wrinkle to the rules. You're now allowed to negotiate 3 days?
Yeah. 9, 10, 11. Sign the 12th.
Okay. So tampering begins on the 5th.
tampering begins at the combine.
That's already begun.
It's true. I mean.
Yeah. And you guys are leaving for the combine, Paul and Andy.
Tomorrow.
Eric is leaving for Africa.
Never be seen again.
Saturday. So
yes. Please stop saying that.
Eric and I will be on the show Thursday. You guys will call in on Thursday
for
the combine?
Sure.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
What's the number?
How may Candy do it? All of a sudden I'll walk out and in. But why? Why? Why, Fred? Why? Why?
Are you guys excited?
Sure.
Yeah, it's fun.
Why sure.
Go back to Indy. Indy's a nice little town.
I was actually thinking, I think Indy is the city in America that I've spent the most time in. Literally. Between Super Bowls and combines for like 10 years
and
now.
And games.
Right. Like I've spent
playoffs, right.
Like weeks and weeks and no other city that I can really say that about. Like I go to Tufts, so we went in and out of Boston, but it's not like I was living in Boston.
Right.
So literally, Indy is like my second
home. And you got your reservations at St. Elmo's already?
We do for Friday night.
Yeah. Nice.
Weber Grill.
Can't tell you what time because I don't want people showing up and trying to get autographs. It's awkward.
Oh,
you know, they'll push over John Elway to get to me. It'll be just uncomfortable. Yeah.
No, that's exciting.
I'm a little concerned about my run on Saturday.
Why is that?
Like, don't know where to run.
I'm sure there's plenty of
I was thinking of maybe heading out to IUPUI.
There's plenty of places out there. I mean, the streets are empty.
Well, now that you know Indy intimately, you can run down that
track. But I'm not a city runner, and then you got to, like, every intersection and stuff. I'd rather.
But you know, maybe like around that park where that, like, that little aqueduct was?
That's what I was thinking, that area.
Yeah.
And over to IUPUI. I got to do 16 miles, though, so.
Well, yeah, that's probably get you about two.
Right. And I don't want to really do a two-mile
loop. Well, you do it early in the morning, though, don't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
There's not going to be anybody driving around. You have to worry about the intersection.
And there's, you know, there's always construction and grates and
you can't run over the grate. I agree with
stuff
you.
Stuff and I'd rather if the campus just go through pathways. Or maybe there'll be some young girls running. You never know.
And then what?
He'll see young girls running.
I'll look at them and enjoy them bouncing.
Okay.
I didn't say I was going to like have sex with them.
508-298.
Not like Brian Morey used to. If I wasn't married, I'd be. Guess what?
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
I wanted to talk about possibly tagging Tlaib and why they should.
Okay. I like it.
I go back to 2008 when Asante Samuel was a free agent, and they spent the next, really, since then, multiple drafts trying to find the guy.
Yep.
And we thought they had a guy in McCourty in 2010, and they didn't. We thought that they had a guy in Butler, and they didn't. So what scares me, on one hand, is that they're going to go through that and possibly draft someone else again, have someone else come in again to try to fill the slot.
And just to back up your point, I also wouldn't just limit it to drafts. guys like Lee Bowden and Sean Springs. They spent decent but not great free agent money trying to fill the hole.
Yeah, those guys too, and that also scares me. Now, I totally understand about, you know, the check it passed, and you worry about that, and you also certainly worry about the whole injury thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to invest in free agents and draft picks like they did, I mean, if you look at all that capital that they spent, they could have signed Samuel for less money, really, when it comes out at the end of the day. So I finally think you have a guy in here who's certainly not Darrell Revis. We all know that. But the defense played better when he was in there, and they were more aggressive when he was in there, and I think he's worth the risk. I'd pull the trigger. I really would.
You said tag, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I'm all for
I'm
the tag.
Yeah, I think I would be too. All that theory that Christian just laid out there, I think, is perfectly sound. The question is, like, you know, you thought you had it in Butler, and you didn't. You thought you had it in whoever, and you didn't.
Yep.
You think you have it in Tlaib.
Right.
What if you don't?
Well, but that's why it's a tag.
Right.
I make a one-year mistake.
Yeah.
It cost me a little money.
I mean, I'm not
to me, 11
the player.
Or 10 and a half for him is no worse than 4 and change for Sean Ellis. I mean, is he going to be less valuable than Sean Ellis was? Can anybody be less valuable?
Right.
Or
no.
Jonathan Finene? That's
right.
$8 million right there. Between, or Chad Ochocinco for
right.
6 or whatever.
Right.
That.
At least we've seen him on the field.
At least
Patriots
he's competitive.
I agree with you. I would definitely... be interested in
let me
in
ask you a question.
I would not be interested in a long-term deal for
and Christian, you know, you can hang on for this if you want, but let me ask you a question. What's the protocol of, let's say they are thinking seriously of tagging Tlaib. Do you have to kind of give him an offer first before you do that? Is it like, I don't want to say rude, but is it like bad procedure to just say we're going to tag you without at least trying to give him a deal? You know, does the player say, you didn't even try to...
You mean during the
during
right now?
This time, yeah.
Right now, you mean?
Right now.
I don't think so, personally. I mean, I would lay it out there. Here's why we want to tag you. We think we want you here. You were what we were looking for
for
a short period.
If you want me here, let's hear an offer.
But you need to prove yourself. You have a checkered past. You can't run from that. You know you've had issues. That costs you. That makes us pause. You were injured even in the short time you were here. That makes us pause. So for that reason, we're not looking to commit right now. But we do want you here, and you're going to make a good sum of money while you're here for a year.
And, you know, then after this year, if things work out, we'd be happy to sit down with you.
What would you rather have them tag you and tell you what I just said, or just flippantly offer you 3 years and $12 million?
Well, that's the thing.
To me, that's way more disrespectful.
Exactly.
The Welker deal?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'd rather have the team come to me and be honest. And unless I'm blind, unless I'm Roger Clemens, I know I've screwed up. I have issues in the past. There are things that make it less likely for me to just go out there and get one of these 5 for $50 million deals. If you're an adult, I think you understand that and say, this is my year. I prove to them that next year, I'm worthy of 5 years, 50
million. Yeah, I wonder, though, because, you know, some of these guys, and I don't know how Tlaib is, but, you know, there could be guys like Tlaib who, after this half season, says, all right, I'm ready to make the money now, and this team's holding me back.
Sure.
They're not allowing me to.
And that's a chance that you have
to
take.
That's a legitimate risk. But
I don't know the type of guy that he is. Like, if he, you know, is he the type of guy that's like, all right, listen, I was in Tampa, I've been in the league X amount of years, and I like it here. I like the atmosphere here. Brady's here. Belichick's here. I got a pretty good shot to win. Or is he the type of guy to say, man, I was in Tampa all those years. I came here. I did get hurt the last game, but now there's money for me out there, and I'm just going to go to the highest bidder.
Yeah, I don't know. But one thing I will say about him, he learned the Patriot way in terms of what to say with the media very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly.
And believably.
Yeah.
He was very good at, you know, whatever Bill tells me to do is what I'll do. If he tells me to play, I play. If he tells me to chill,
you know,
I chill.
And that's not always the case. We've seen guys come in here, you know, who was the other corner that came in? And
Buck?
Jon Springs?
That told us about his injury.
Ellis Hall.
Tyrone Poole. You know, here's a guy that came in and just didn't learn the Patriots way. Not all veterans adhere to it.
No.
You know?
And maybe he wasn't really. Maybe it was just an acting job for a short time. I mean, you can do anything.
He did
for
a good job
period.
At it.
I found him believable.
I think they're all acting.
I thought he was really, really believable.
And funny, you know, when they had the guy who didn't adhere to the Patriots' way, they won the Super Bowl.
True. And I have one more horrific name to throw in there as far as free agent cornerbacks and stuff. Delta O'Neal.
Oh yes.
Oh God, yeah. I forgot about him.
Yeah, they've missed plenty on those swings.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Tlaib it is. I'm with you.
All right. Thanks, Christian. And, of course, you know, Will Allen is still under wraps, but
he was a safety.
Yeah.
Here. I mean, all last camp, he was basically a safety.
And I think that all signs are pointing toward him getting released.
I don't think he was getting released. So much so that I thought he was released and then later played for the Steelers.
Different Will
Allen. I know, but I didn't know at the time.
Will Allen did play for the Steelers.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hello, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got I think you should throw a tag on Tlaib, too. You know, I'm like, we missed out on a lot of people, you know, before. But I got four of the names I want to throw at y'all and see what y'all think about it.
Awesome.
What about Dwight Freeney?
All right.
Ed Reed and Charles Woodson. Add him to the team as free agency.
Three old people.
Team do then.
Okay. Dwight Freeney's only 32, right? He's fairly young.
I'd be interested in Freeney.
I would take Freeney.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it would cost you a tremendous amount. His production has gone down. He is, you know, creeping toward the mid-30s. He's not the dynamic guy that he once was, but I think you wouldn't ask him to play every down now.
I'd
be interested in him.
Now, I'd
what about the pass rushing? I would have me know.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Scott or Dwight Freeney, I don't even – that's a no-brainer. No-brainer.
Really? Even for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's exactly the way
Scott's
I would
playing
look at
safety.
I didn't watch a lot of Dwight Freeney last year, but he had a pretty down year, right?
Yeah, I think he had five sacks.
He had five sacks, but I was reading one column on him that said he still had the explosiveness. He was still a factor in games.
Who
where
wrote that?
Who wrote it?
Bob Kravitz.
Yeah, but they had him playing linebacker still.
No, they didn't.
Yeah,
it was
the same
thing.
The same
I don't know if it was Chappelle, maybe.
Mike Chappell.
Chappell. It was somebody out of Indy or a national scout that said that you know, he still had the explosiveness.
Because that's my concern.
Where teams had to be concerned with
him. He has had knee and ankle or knee and foot injuries.
He's been beaten up.
Was a guy that got bought. He was undersized and had elite speed. So if he loses a little of that, he's done. He's toast. He's just, you know, brother-in-law in it with the left tackle all day long.
Right.
So that would be my concern. But I'd bring him in. I'd want to know that and say, oh, he still has it.
Thanks, Eldridge. And of course, he mentioned Charles Woodson, who got released. I don't know about Woodson, man. I mean, the last time we saw him, he was getting burned up pretty bad.
Yeah, he's right? Not what he once was. He's been injured for the last 2 years.
When was the last time you saw him?
In the Denver game. What game was it?
Green Bay
when they were playing in that playoff game. He was getting killed.
Yeah,
San Francisco.
He's been beaten up with injuries, and that's why I probably would not really be interested in that. I read a report out of one of those Milwaukee papers. What's it, the
Sentinel?
Sentinel. Really tough on him, you know, saying that he's a guy that's better when he's you know, not in any kind of a structured defense. He wants to play his way. He peeks into the backfield. He does this. He does that.
But he's not a corner.
He's not a corner anymore, though.
He's almost an in-the-box safety who's not big enough to be an in-the-box safety.
I just remember in that last game, in that last playoff game, didn't Woodson kind of say some stuff before the game, and then during the game he just got –
I don't remember Woodson's. I mean, you might be right, but he was – I don't even know if he was
– He was targeted
I think he was questionable to even play in the game. I don't know if he would have been talking.
Well, maybe that's why they targeted him, but he was
– I just
– the bad end of a lot of plays.
Somebody posed this to me in SPFW, and of Landry, Reed, and Woodson, who would you want? And I'd have Woodson at the bottom of my list.
Of those three, I might take Landry.
Well, me too, at the right price. I mean,
yeah.
If he supposedly wants over $6 million a year, I'm not really willing to go there. And Reed, who knows what he's doing? I know Greg Bedard's big on he's probably going to go to Indy if he leaves Baltimore to be with Pagano.
I read that.
Woodson, to me, I'm not all that interested.
And then in
the
draft,
I like Woodson as a player, but I think he's probably the least reliable in terms of health.
And then in terms of the draft, if it is true what Mayock says about this safety class, chances are if there's a guy that is, you know, a blue chipper that can come in and contribute right away, that guy's going to go way before the Patriots have a
chance.
I know
our guys at Draft Scout right now had like one guy going in the first round. It's not really – remember a few years ago where like Whitner and those guys went like 8, 9, 9, 10?
That was the
10,
perfect one when who was the one that went? Was it Whitner
Huff
that went?
Maybe.
And then Huff went the next pick or something like that.
But I think the Bills took Whitner because
Huff
right,
had
went,
gone the pick before.
But, I mean, there's been a lot of guys. You know, Earl Thomas was highly thought of coming out.
Eric Berry.
Eric Berry.
Eric Berry was good,
It's not that good. It's more deep than it is top.
Yeah, and it's the kid from Texas is the supposedly the
– Vaccaro,
I think. And they're looking at him
there's
around
an Elam
the
kid.
20s.
Yeah. And there's two or three – you know, but even there's a guy, Tony Jefferson from Strippers Oklahoma squad.
That Elam kid is – he may be good, but he's not the type of safety I think they need here. Well, they have a safety like that. They have safeties like that. They need a bigger safety.
I want a playmaker, and I'm not. I mean, we're not far enough into the process. I can't tell you exact. I know the knock against Vaccaro is not a playmaker. I think he had 5 picks in like 50 something career games, and they wonder why. And he wasn't, you know, the playmaker that Thomas was. You know, I want a playmaker. I want a guy that I'm going to see around the football a lot, knocking balls out, catching balls, hitting people.
Todd writes in, make sure Andy gets a look at Jonathan Banks, cornerback out of Mississippi State.
Yeah, how do you say that name?
Banks?
Because there's no way. No, it's Jonathan. There's an A missing. It's Jonathan.
Jonathan.
I believe.
Oh, you sure that wasn't a typo?
No, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
I trust Draft Scout. Draft Scout's pretty clean.
Is that the Jonathan that has the H?
Yeah, he has the H and no A.
Yeah, okay.
There's another one, too, though. There's a John. There might be a John. Uthin with no H. There's a few. But there's one guy, I believe it's J-O-H-N-T-H-A-N. And I actually, when typing, was thinking, this is something to keep an eye on for all draft writings from here on
Absolutely.
Out.
Connor in New Hampshire has a free agent game for us. I'll give you 2 free agents, and you can only sign or re-sign one if money is no object.
Ooh, I love it when money's
no object. Wes Welker or Deshaun Goldson?
Not as easy as tough.
Welker.
I'd say Welker.
I can only sign one. I suppose I'll stay well. I'll stay Welker.
Danny,
I'll go Goldson.
Okay, Danny Amendola.
The other name.
What?
The other name.
Danny Amendola or Kyle Arrington.
Kyle Arrington.
Kyle Arrington.
What? Kyle Arrington. Mike Wallace or Aqib Talib.
Wallace.
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 Charles Woodson or Sebastian Vollmer.
Vollmer.
Woodson.
Game. Makes you think.
Neither guy's going to play a full season. So
Greg Jennings or Randy Moss?
Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings.
Eldridge just called. LaRon Landry or Danelle Ellerby?
Landry.
Danny Woodhead Ellerby. Or Rashard Mendenhall?
Mendenhall.
Really?
Mendenhall.
Potential franchise back as compared to a jag of all trades?
You would have a great team with Sam Bradford handing off to Rashard Mendenhall.
Connor get a good look in practice from Quinn, too.
Connor Barwin or Brian Urlacher?
Connor Barwin.
Barwin.
Urlacher's
Personally, this is Connor speaking. I would love to sign Goldson and re-sign Welker, Edelman, Woodhead, and Tag Talib. Plus, congratulations to Paul on the Jason Vega signing.
Yeah, oh, thank
you. That was made official. Guy from Northeastern.
Confusing people. Because people were coming by. They signed another guy out of Canada. I said, no, this is the guy. It's already been talked about like weeks ago, and they're just making it official. People get they think each one is 2 players. Like when it comes out.
4 guys from Canada.
Yeah, and when then it becomes official.
Are we sure that he wasn't like in the co-op system in Northeastern? He's here to work for Team
Canada.
Ops?
His co-op job was in Canada?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's what Paul thinks he's going to be doing after camp ends.
Team co-ops?
Oh, I'm not sure it's going to take that long.
Oh, wow. Won't even make it to camp, eh?
I'm not sure he will.
Let's see.
Watch Mike, drive home
he'll
anyway.
End up being a starter. Plays 15 games.
Mike writes in, the Patriots have to make another decision on how much to offer a good veteran as his value starts to slide. Have we seen the last of Wes Welker in a Patriots uniform? That question started me thinking of a way to keep veterans under the tent. So, guys and Eric, here are my thoughts on a proposal to expand football. All franchises would be granted 2 teams in their current location in separate leagues. Teams would be aged based with one team having players 22 to 28 years old and a second team having players 29 to 35. There would be a re-entry draft for the 29-year-olds each year, with each team getting several tags for the veteran team. There would be mandatory retirement at age 36, with 1 or 2 exemptions per team. The Super Bowl would be between the champions of the younger and older league. Fans would get a home and away game every week. This would double the number of games to be played and possibly double TV revenue.
Possibly cut in half the talent.
Yeah,
you
know, no
you wouldn't be seeing the best teams.
I think, what makes a good team is that chemistry.
No, but I'm saying, like, some of the best players in football are under 28, and some of them are over 29 or whatever.
Yeah.
You're now spreading your talent out. I want to see the best of everybody. I want to see the elite versus the elite.
You're right.
Otherwise, you're the MLS, and you don't have the elite.
Mike Florio had an idea. I know Andy will poo-poo it just because it's Mike Florio. But I thought it was an interesting idea.
Probably wasn't his.
Why not allow teams to be able to trade cap space? In other words,
the NBA, and I don't like that.
Why not?
It ruins it.
Why not?
Well, explain it to me. Give me a for instance.
Like if you have, if you need cap space, okay, you can trade someone else that has it, can give it to you for like a draft pick, and now they're on the books for that money, and you have a little bit more space, but you've lost a draft pick or a player, whatever it is that you traded.
So teams don't have to try, right? I mean, because there's a floor and a ceiling for the cap, so now you're giving cheap teams reason to be cheap.
I'm maybe that's one of the reasons why they would never do it. You know,
I mean, you're allowing them to be super cheap, so the Glaziers can just unload their free cap space that they have.
So, like, let's say the Patriots really wanted Mike Wallace in a trade.
So there's an incentive to have cap space, is what you're saying?
Yeah, like the Cincinnati's and the Tampa Bay's of the world. In Andy's example, you know, they have $25 million of cap space. I'm going to give it $5 million to the Pittsburgh Steelers and maybe five more to the Baltimore Ravens. My payroll's not going up.
Right.
Well, that's so.
But my cap is compliant with the league, and I've reached
that,
the.
So that might be the answer: is decentive. Because in an ideal world, you want every team spending to the cap.
And you also, I would think, if I'm a player, I want the Tampa Bay Bucks spending their $25 million because, in likelihood, I'm getting a big contract for somebody. If it's spread out like Paul says, they traded an extra $4 million here to the Patriots. Well, now you're just tinkering with contracts. You're missing out on those potential big paydays that teams A have to do to be compliant with the cap, and B try to succeed. You know, they give Vincent Jackson $55 million as a superstar with the hopes they're turning it around. But it also benefits the players. They now have a $55 million receiver in the ranks.
Yep. Now I'm sure there's some counter arguments that could be made, but I think it's.
And it confuses everything. I mean, then you get into like expiring contracts and cap room, and you go that whole
it makes it a lot more
soft cap. And
I'm sure there's a million loopholes.
Yeah,
once you create
are. Yeah. And then you don't like them, so you got to change roles to fix. I think it's a slippery slope and an ugly mess. And it's a dumb idea, Florio. Even though you probably stole it from somebody.
All right.
I think we should start. Even though the show is probably half over now, but. So far, I recall at least two Tag Talib's votes from our listeners. I think we should take a vote. What do you want the Patriots to do with the franchise tag? Talib, Vollmer, Welker, or none? Let everybody chime in.
Why don't we do that on the PFW in Progress Facebook page, I guess?
Well, that was our Make Your Case a couple
Well, we've been doing it.
Fridays ago.
But I want it from our platforms. Listeners.
So,
especially in light of the opinions being brought lately by Borges and Reese that no one's, maybe you've changed your opinion.
Yeah, so why don't you weigh in on the PFW in Progress Facebook page, and Kevin can check that, in 20 or 30 minutes and see what the result is.
I think the first time we did it, Andy, a couple of Fridays ago, I think it was neck and neck between Welker and Talib, and it was like in the roughly around 40% each.
It's the right answer.
And then,
I love when Andy goes to the stamp of approval.
The Geek Squad put it up on the website as its own standalone poll, and I think Welker was running away with it, if I recall.
Never gonna get him.
So
and then he dropped the ball and had to go back and get it.
It varied within 1 week. That was only 1 week later that he put the poll up. So.
Well, I think people change. I mean, we've had some in Ask PFWs. I saw people said, I've changed completely on what they should do with it. Or, maybe the Borges thing sways people, or the Reese thing that no one's going to use. They're not going to use it on anyone. By the way, while you're at the PFW page, feel free to click on the thing to donate to my marathon fund. I'm a little worried that my incentive of a Wes Welker autographed helmet is becoming less valuable as he comes closer to being although it's more collectible.
One of our PFW in Progress members met Rob Gronkowski out in Las Vegas over the weekend and sent photos, and that's on the website.
Edwin, right?
Yeah, Edwin Correll.
And he wanted to emphasize that Gronk didn't do anything physical. I believe it was at a golf thing or something in Vegas, and he was holding up his scorecard, but he did not do anything physical. He looked at his arm. It looked fine. Gronk was fine.
Has he been in Vegas for the last 2 weeks?
But it was interesting. I guess he's there with his brothers and his father.
Okay.
So there's at least a chance that the father was there while he was DDTing a brother on the stage. Okay.
Alex from Philly writes in, I just wanted to say that I loved the argument at the end of Thursday's show. I forget what you guys were arguing over. All I remember was Fred screaming at the top of his lungs at Andy, calling him an idiot, and Andy talking really fast, but somehow spinning the argument to Paul's weight. Anyway, first Eric said the window was closed, then Paul said Brady stinks, and now Andy says Hernandez stinks. sucks, which is a 180 turn from back in training camp when Andy was blowing him.
Hey, I should have said that.
What happened to sunshine.com? Also on the Welker debate, at first I wanted to let him go, but Andy swayed me with his talk about Welker's durability. Look at all the slots wide receivers that people are trying to replace him with. Edelman, Amendola, Harvin, and Andy's now jilted lover, Hernandez, all have injury issues, and Welker is always there. Is there a chance that we can keep Welker and Tlaib and still get a playmaker on offense? Is this a deep draft on pass rushers? If so, is trading down a good thing to do this year? And lastly, Eric, relax. I know when the schedule comes out.
When?
I mean, he makes a good point. All these other guys, you know, injuries and Welker, the durability has to be factored in.
Law of averages.
Yeah. I would say that's his one of his greatest arguments.
Law of averages. He's due.
But he had the ACL.
So he had it. Yeah.
He did not give Brady a contract. Oh, he already had the. Yeah, they're already they're the same. Yeah. ACL. So they're both due again?
Yeah.
Brady's been healthier longer.
Yeah, well, quarterbacks.
Brady missed
don't get
more
hurt.
Time with his injury than Welker did.
Well, that's a little different.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the timing of
I know,
injury
but
was
still.
Major.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline, Frank is calling in from Germany. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I got like two questions. The one is the first one is about the cap, because you guys been saying it's like 18 million in cap space. I was wondering like if Wes Welker's contract and Julian Edelman's contract and if all those contracts are already in that cap space or
nine.
No.
Nine. So that means that it goes on top. So actually, if we let Welker go, we have more cap space than 18 million.
No,
it's not included. So
they don't have contracts.
Yeah, they don't have contracts right now, so I guess you could say they are sort of included because they don't count. But, if you tagged Welker to 11.6, you're now down to $6.5 million or whatever.
Well, that seems like it's not a lot of money, like referring to all the players that are like not signed right now. So I'm kind of wondering where's all the money besides like the big three. Who else is getting so much money?
Well, there's the big deals, and then there's some dead money, and yeah. You know, everybody at $500,000, and
yeah, I mean, you know,
and you can find cap space too. And guys will get reworked, mm-hmm. and you'll end up, you know,
there's also guys like Brian Waters, who, because he didn't report last year, his contract carries over into this year. So right now he counts against the cap, but he could end up.
Okay, so
right, that could be
then they free the space.
Right.
Yeah. And that 18 million is just reported. No one really knows.
Well, the cap hasn't been set yet.
Yeah.
Everybody's assuming it's going to stay right around the same.
Yeah.
But it might not.
Oh, yeah. The cap hasn't been set, and therefore the franchise tags haven't been set because they're based on the cap.
Correct.
Okay, but so basically, I mean, getting to Leap and Welker, which is like my preferred scenario, is close to the edge of like being possible.
They can do it and still have room.
Right.
They
can really, Fred?
And yeah. If you sign them both,
they have to figure it out.
Oh yeah, no. But if you sign them both,
don't get me started.
This is the argument that they were having.
No, I think that was a separate. I think the Welker one was the last one when he said Welker. What did he catch? Four touchdowns.
Yeah. If they end up signing, their cap numbers won't. You know, they might not be that big.
Right.
You know, in the first year. Now,
if
it's franchised and that's 11 million or 11.4, whatever. That's a big,
you tag
that's a big cap number, but
and leave
might,
Welker's yeah. number at six or something, or maybe
so
even
it
less
doesn't
than that.
Have to be you know, huge money. Plus, like Eric said, you know, there's different guys that are counted right now that probably aren't going to be in the picture. I mean, there's going to be guys that get let go, and you know, different. I think that you're probably going to see a reworking for Brady.
Andy wants to cut Hernandez.
Well, Brady's cap number is like
20. No, I do not want to cut. You've already.
Well, that's why you think he stinks.
You've made that bet, and you're lying in it.
I was just. You might want to, but you can't.
Right. So, you're tied in.
No love for the countryman over there?
Sebastian Vollmer?
Yeah, Vollmer.
Sebastian Vollmer. Well, yeah. I think he's a good tacker, but the injury issue is really concerning. I mean, I think he's really talented, and I think if we like keep him for maybe another year or two, we got like the solid offensive line group that's kind of been working together, like back in the old days when we had like five really solid starters being together for like 3-4 years. I think that would be a benefit of keeping him, but like the disadvantage is what happens if he gets hurt again.
Right.
So.
And you know that the injuries are, you know, health is a factor. When even Logan Mankins says when he's right health-wise, he's one of the best out there.
Right.
Usually a player doesn't, but that's on their minds.
And even
his health is on their minds.
The Ravens D-line coach was talking about how he looked like
it was
he wasn't
different.
Himself.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't the same athletic, fluid guy.
Yeah.
And I've joked that he was held together by duct tape and Toradol.
I got another question about, like, the wide receiver core. Do you think we're going to see anything like last year where we, like, bring in, like, Tony Gonzalez, the guy from the Colts. What was his name?
Anthony Gonzalez.
Yeah. Anthony Gonzalez. Do you think, like, we're going to keep doing, like, bringing in six guys? And doesn't that actually, like, cost us money that we could spend, like, on long-term deal for Welker?
Not generally. I mean, they generally, those guys don't get much in terms of signing bonus.
Okay, so when they cleared again. Let's say they signed Anthony Gonzalez for $1 million. It's just as an example.
Yeah,
and they
doesn't
keep him
get
for
it,
3 weeks on the roster, and then they cut him. They free the space of $1 million again.
Correct.
Okay, so the only thing that counts against the cap is the signing bonus they get if they cut him.
Correct. Or their base salary if they make the team.
And if after that first game, I forget what the date is, but veterans are guaranteed their whole season's contract if they make it past a certain date, even if you cut them.
That's the first week.
The first week.
Right. Yeah.
Vested veterans.
Yeah, so in your example, the guys that they brought in cost very, very little on the cap because most of them washed out and didn't make the team. But if they had all made the team, that would have been a million here, a million there, and
there was some. Die had some, and
I
think Gallery. I don't know. He might have got that back because he retired.
Yeah, you know this like
Finene had a lot.
You know, like Andy said, most of those guys got modest, if any, signing bonus money, and that's the only money that would count.
And that's
cap.
I mean,
all right, Frank. Thanks for calling from Germany.
In. They have a buffer fund of cost of doing business on those types
Frank
of guys.
Frank from Frankfurt.
Frankfurter.
I liked the nine. You responded with nine.
Well, it does mean yes. I mean no. I see. That's my dyslexia. I think.
How do you say yes in German?
Da.
Da.
Is that?
Yes.
I thought that was Russian.
Da, like, da, yes. Da.
Da and
maybe.
Yet.
Yet.
Yes and no in Russian.
Nine.
Ja.
Nine Sprachen.
Ja. It's ja, right? Ja.
See that thing where Volkswagen's about to take over the world? See that thing with Volkswagen? They're about to take
Speaking
over the
of
world.
Da,
How's
da,
that?
Da.
They're German.
Remember those
right?
commercials?
Yeah. They're German automaker. Because they've apparently they're very close to the holy grail of car making, which virtually all cars in their line will have the same platform, parts. It'll all be interchangeable.
Well, Volkswagen is also Porsche and Audi.
Yeah, they're all going to be the same.
Wow.
And they say if they can do it, they'll take over the world of cars. By doing it. It's been
because
the,
of cost efficiency.
Yeah, the quote unquote holy grail for decades. Companies have been trying to build.
Okay.
That controversial ad for the Super Bowl with the guy with the Jamaican accent, by the way.
Yep.
It's funny.
That's gold.
I love
that. That was controversial.
Funny. Oh, land of 10,000 lakes.
Yeah. Didn't you grow up in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah.
The Gopher State.
The land of 10,000 lakes.
I think that was good for this year. Any other year, it would have been a run of the mill commercial.
I thought it was, I think it's really funny. Like, it makes me laugh even now.
Why was it controversial?
It was just like a regular token white guy who was acting like a Jamaican until. You know, the entire
the
Jamaican nation said how flattering it was that we're perceived to be happy people. unfortunately, the liberals had to go back in their little hole and say, no, we don't. You should be upset about that. You don't know.
Mike.
You don't know from accents.
Mike has a theoretical trade for us to discuss.
I like it.
Would you trade Gronkowski along with Welker and or Mallett to Arizona for Larry Fitzgerald?
No.
Yeah, no way. And P.S.
There's
Eric,
virtually no
I trade
scenario.
And Welker for Fitzgerald.
Yeah, there's virtually no trade scenario that I would agree to with Gronkowski.
Yeah, I haven't cut ties with him that much.
I mean, I'm not going to say never, but right now.
Unless the Colts wanted to give you Andrew Luck. You know, there's no way otherwise.
Paul's not doing it. And he loves Luck.
Oh, I would.
He bought into the Luck phenomenon. Wow.
It would take more than Luck, I think.
A franchise quarterback, you wouldn't do it?
I would do it.
Yeah.
Straight up? Yeah. Straight up?
For the guy who's always hurt in the postseason? That's how I'd start talking about it.
Well, that's what the Patriots would do.
The party animal who's always
Patriots
hurt when
fans.
It matters most.
Patriots fans would do that immediately.
Mike also says, P.S. Eric, you are nuts going to Africa without having done any camping. When I went on an 8-day backpacking trip to the Sierras, we trained for months and did several smaller camping trips to prepare, and I had been camping before. I can't imagine doing what you're doing, but hats off to you if you can make it back alive. It actually would be funny to see you running from an angry hippo. Please make sure you get video. Seriously, good luck, and I hope it goes well. That will undoubtedly be an incredibly memorable trip.
Yeah, when you're running from the hippo, can you take the phone out and hold it
out
in front of
you? Yeah, but from what I hear now, people that are weighing in, they've looked at your particular one.
Yeah.
It's not camping. It's luxury. It's five stars.
Luxury yurting.
Yeah.
It's not roughing it.
I mean, they carry you on that chair with the poles. I mean, you know, come on.
That was in Egypt, Fred.
Oh, okay.
How did people find out what you're doing?
When Eric
Because some people ask.
We talk about it on the show.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know we talked about, like, what company he's using and specifics.
Yeah, I did.
We talked about a yurt.
Yurt.
Maybe if you mention them, they can give you a discount. Work something
a little
out.
Late for that, isn't it?
A little late, but you know, there'll be refund. Other trips. There'll be other trips.
Yeah.
Now, will your parents be refunded if you pass?
Again, the obsession with my death. He's
an incredibly bad person.
I mean, you don't have to convince me of that.
Did you ask the company any questions? Like, you know, what's the worst experience problem you've ever had? You die.
No. This tour outfitter started safaris in East Africa. They were the originators. They celebrated their 50th year in 2012.
Is it the J. Peterman company or something?
I think that's what they modeled the J. Peterman thing after was this guy. No,
Bill
seriously.
Belichick started the modern era of football, and he struggled in Cleveland.
These people do safaris the way it's supposed to be done.
Only two people
he's
have been eaten
pompous
in 50 years.
For people that he's not associated, like, he's paying them and he's being pompous about them.
That's what they are. They're the standard when it comes to safaris. They're the gold standard.
I'd be less scared about, like, lions and tigers and all that than the cobras.
They have cobras
the African
there?
Cobras.
I don't like the snakes because they can sneak up on you.
Yeah, I don't like the spinning snakes. Cobras too.
Yeah, I know.
It's like the gators.
Do
they spit them out the water and get?
Yeah, that's
if it hits you. Does it get you?
It hits you in the eye. That's how they paralyze the.
Yeah,
they
can blind their prey.
Holy
shit! Yeah. Or any.
You're out of your flipping mind.
Any predators?
Because Fred's right. At least you see the lion coming. The snake's going to be in your sleeping bag, and you'll never know it. You just put those night vision goggles so you can see the lion coming. Come on, you're better than that.
Yeah, that scares me more than the cobras.
I didn't know there was a big spitting cobra.
Oh, yeah. Spitting cobras.
No, thanks.
Yeah, but if you don't bother the cobra,
right?
It's not going to bother
you. The woman
you.
I saw on video was not bothering the rhinoceros when it mauled her.
She got too close to it.
Well, you might get too close to the cobra, and you won't know you're bothering it until he eats you.
cobra eats you?
I don't know. What do they do with you after they kill you? They just leave
they
you?
They bite you. Then the lion eats you.
They
put the venom in, and they paralyze you, and then they eat you.
Oh, so they do eat you. You just mocked me when I said eat you.
But they're not going to eat a human.
They don't dislodge their jaws and suck the
human,
whole thing in.
They're not like the anacondas.
He's pretty petite.
They don't have the... They only go after small prey. They don't have the detaching, like a constrictor.
Okay. Yeah,
they're not
seen
constrictors.
Have you seen that? There's video and pictures of like a gazelle, basically. Being eaten by one of those.
They're like Paul. They unlatch the jaw.
They unlatch the jaw, and then the mouth just comes
open. It's unbelievable.
It always takes an ugly turn.
And it takes, like, that one meal will last them for, like, a couple months.
And it looks ridiculous.
It does
so fake.
Yeah,
because it's like a snake and then a big lump in them. And then,
right.
Imagine that. He's, like, going, like, 2 miles an hour trying to get across the...
He's dragging Paul in his gut. It's unbelievable. How would take such an ugly turn every time? So the cobras.
Because he's an ugly man.
So the cobras, the lions, the rhinoceroses, the hippopotamuses.
Hippopotami.
Is it a hippopotami?
And those African crocodiles. Watch out for
them.
They
come out the water. Not to mention the people, as Larry Anand said. They could just shoot you. Highest murder rates in the world are in Africa.
That's in South Africa.
Oh.
I'm going to East Africa.
I'm sure that's much safer. he was from Kenya, wasn't he?
Who?
No. Where was he from? Larry Anand. I don't know. You wrote the story. I might have.
Ghana?
That's West Africa. Kenya.
Was it?
I don't really know.
You wrote the story.
I know. It was a long time ago. I have a terrible memory. I may have taken some creative liberties. Oh, good. He was actually from Brockton.
Fred in Halifax, Nova Scotia, he said he would sign Welker if he wants too much. Bye-bye. I would sign Vollmer, same conditions as Welker, and I would tag Tlaib. For the love of God, we have been the better part of 8 years trying to replace Samuel. Enough is enough. Stop searching for perfection and tag the man.
Yeah, I understand that, but the whole flaw with the theory is, unless he wants too much, what's too much? You know, what you think is too much might not be too much to him. Well, I wouldn't give Vollmer anything. I'm ready to move on from Vollmer. I know, even though I don't have a backup. I know you are. I think there's zero chance he plays a full season. I thought someone brought up earlier in the show. I think it was an emailer that said, you know, the question is, you know, replaceability.
Yeah.
And I wonder about that with all of them. I'm not just talking Vollmer here. I'm talking about all these guys. It's all well and good to say we can let Welker go, but are you prepared now to sort of change your offense? Because I think if Welker goes, you're sort of making a declaration that it's not going to focus on the slot receiver moving forward.
Right.
Because we're not going to just plug in Julian Edelman and say everything's the same.
Right, but aren't you more confident in the offense with Brady orchestrating
and
McDaniels?
Absolutely, but I'm just saying that's the question. You know, with
and
Homer,
I'm more comfortable with Scarnecchia replacing Homer.
Are you
Homer
okay
at right
with
tackle.
Marcus Cannon at right
no,
tackle?
No, but if he sucks, Dante won't put him there. He'll put somebody who doesn't suck there because he doesn't put people that suck on the field. Correct? I mean, generally when he puts somebody on the field, you go,
I don't know.
The guy was pretty good.
Brandon Gorin. Eh.
He got by, didn't he? You don't think he'll find somebody to get by with?
Am I getting my credit card back?
Now, whereas the secondary, no offense to Josh Boyer and Brian Flores and Matt Patricia, but they have yet to prove that I should have confidence in them replacing a cornerback, just finding a guy. They've had trouble finding him, never mind replacing him. Whereas Brady, Scarnecchia, the offense, McDaniel, I have faith that they can get the job done with the replacements.
Louis in Chicago says, it's been a long time since I've mailed in, and I don't even think I ever miss a show while in class eating out or playing Madden. I'm always listening to the
eating
number
out.
One football show ever. Thank you, Louis. That's
who?
That's high praise. The number one football show ever. On to
Thank
my
you.
Question. Can Andy
no.
Explain the difference between the odd, even, under, and over front in a 3-4 or 4-3 defense? Also, what is the press bail technique? And shout out to my boy, Edwin. He got to meet the Gronk, preamble to Jay. So, Andy, odd, even, under, over front.
I'm not good at it. It has to do with the tight end and sliding the line, but I don't know if the three technique goes to the over or to the under. I need Fred Smurf to tell me. But it you slide the defense. I think over, you overplay to the tight end and under, but it's either that or opposite.
And press bail, isn't that just where you press early and then
you
bail. Hand it off to a guy or, you know.
You drop. Yeah. You basically bang him at the line and drop. It's instead of pure man-to-man or pure press where you're trying to not let him get off the line. You're just getting a hit in and letting him go.
Okay. Good.
I should study up on the overs and the unders.
Viraj,
read about that stuff.
Emails
seriously?
In. He says tag Tlaib.
Don't.
Well, I don't want to read about it. I'll just go to a diagram and then I'll know it. I don't need to read somebody else's commentary.
Like I've read.
Just show me what an over is and an under is, and I know what it is.
Really,
from then on, I know.
Really descriptive terms of the whole thing with all the techniques. The 0, 3, 5. And the overs, unders, odd. It makes sense. But it's sort of like reading about taxes. It's just
right, but
really
that's why,
dry, dull.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the best books on that, Pat Kerwin, who's on Sirius Radio, he has a book, I think it's called Take Your Eye Off the Ball.
I think I have that, don't I? Didn't he send those to us?
Yeah, I haven't.
Tell me I should read
it. Oh, I'd like to read that if you have a copy.
Pretty sure
it's
have
in my office.
Yeah. Okay. That's a book that
you know
is
it's
highly
good if you haven't read
it's highly recommended.
By who?
By everybody that reads it.
Pat Kerwin.
But who do you know who's read it?
A lot of people. Jonathan says...
Name three. I'll tell you the same thing that people say it's easy to
replace.
Okay,
I listen to Sirius a lot, and people who call in all praise the book.
Oh, people who are sucking up to Pat Kerwin.
Maybe.
People tell us we're great, too. We're not that good. If we were, we wouldn't be here.
Oh, my God.
That's a fair point.
Let's see.
If we were, we'd make more money.
Jonathan, don't overrate yourself. Jonathan says...
Jonathan or John Thin?
No, Jonathan says he would tag Tlaib. So everyone
wants to tag Tlaib. I haven't heard a single Vollmer or a single Welker.
Yeah, and another person wants to know, do we think Richard Seymour could be coming back?
Doubtful. I'd take him.
Yeah, I would too, but I don't think it.
Likely. I would take a versatile defensive lineman with his experience, but I'm guessing he still thinks he wants to be paid, and the Patriots wouldn't pay him. And I'm not sure that it ended all that well either.
For all those reasons, it probably won't happen, but that would be an example of that guy that I sort of am the only one that really wants. That interior guy that might be able to push the pocket a little bit. I think he could do that. He's not going to get you 10 sacks, but he might get you, 4, 5.
And he might get Ninkovich 3.
Yeah, and he might help you in other ways, collapsing the pocket. I think he could still play.
Everybody's in love with that. Everybody wants a defensive tackle. I keep reading people, should they take one of these, because it's a defensive tackle, defensive line, heavy draft, blah, blah. I'm not overly excited about it. I want edge guys. I want playmakers. And I know the team was even excited of Fanene. They thought Fanene, and remember they were interested in Red Bryant. They wanted an inside pocket pushing kind of guy. I just don't know what the value is in that. Are you going to be that much better? Is that the cure for the defensive ills?
Let's see. Dylan says, what's more likely to happen? Belichick coaches 15 or 20 more years and rides off into the sunset, or the NFL competition committee ruins the sport in 5 years with new rules, and old school coaches like Bill lose interest.
The latter.
You think the latter?
I don't think he's coaching until he's 80.
No, he's already said he's not coaching in his 70s.
Yeah, he said a lot of things.
2022 or before.
Eric has the date circled.
That's right.
Can I ask a serious but very, I don't know, what's the word, moribund or some bad question? You think he's healthy?
Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He gets his annual cold around November, but other than that, I think he's pretty healthy.
His weight fluctuates
a
little.
He
doesn't look great. He's got that like hunched over look. And
it's because watching film all day.
I wonder if that picture of him at the Pebble Beach a couple of weeks ago.
I didn't see it.
He looked okay.
He looks pretty large.
And he's worked out hard this year.
Yeah.
With, what's
that's
his
the
name?
Well, that's the thing. He's been working out a lot, and he doesn't look like he's been losing anything.
All right. Let's take a quick break.
Moses.
Give us a chance to eat a little food. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. We'll be here until 2 o'clock, so another 35 minutes or so. Plenty of time to get your calls and emails in. Let's get right to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, where Jerry in California is standing by. Hey, Governor.
Good morning. Since you guys seem to have gotten off that 30-second rule, I figured I'd call back in again.
You're like, Paul, you need the extra time?
No, we just reinstituted
it.
Go.
By the way, I thought I'd correct something y'all did last week that was wrong. Normally you guys don't make mistakes, but you certainly made one next week, so I thought I'd help you correct that. I'm not sure it was the writer that wrote in or Fred was reading it very quickly or whatever, but y'all got into a discussion because there was some guy that wrote in that said Kyle Arrington thought he was one of the better defensive backs on the Patriots. And what actually happened is there's some guy wrote an article, and this guy said that Kyle Arrington was one of the better defensive backs. But Arrington himself, he never said anything one way or the other. So y'all were talking about the fact that he may think he's the better one, but he's not or whatever. But really, it wasn't anything that he said at all.
Okay. And do you happen to know who that was by any chance, who wrote it?
I don't know. Fred was just reading it. It just went by really quick. So I'm not sure. Maybe Fred reading it quickly didn't quite catch the words quite.
Possibly.
No.
It's been known to happen.
Also, if you got a second, I got just a little quick thing for Andy on his marathon type thing.
Okay, what do you got?
I know you're getting all sorts of advice, this, that, and the other, but I thought I'd throw in there that to finish a marathon, it's really more mental than it is physical. So you really got to get your head on straight. Let's just say
it's difficult when it's bobbing up and down all the time.
It's not on straight. I'll fall over.
Let's say that you were running the race to impress Paul. That's not true, of course, but let's just say it is. If you were running the race to impress Paul, somewhere around that 20-mile mark, you're going to realize that maybe you didn't want to impress Paul that much, and maybe you don't like Paul after all. So the mental aspect of it gets into your head sometime around that 20 or 22 or 3-mile point. The other little thing I throw in it for advice, and my advice is to start off slow and then taper off. And the other part of it is, and this is a little bit harder for you to do running a great big race like that, but when I used to run marathons, I would actually be the last one out of the, we normally started at some quarter-mile track or whatever, and I'd shuffle my feet to be the absolute last one out. And then rather than, running faster to catch up to where I should have been, I would run my normal race. So the whole race, I would be slowly passing people rather than people passing me. And that certainly helps your mental state rather than people coming by you all the time. So
it's an interesting theory. If I start last, I'll get to pass somebody.
What did you finish?
That's
what were your normal times back then?
Well, I'll tell you the story I tell everybody else. I finished 4 full marathons. The last one I finished in under 4 hours, which for an amateur is not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I finished in a 62 Chevy.
That's well done.
And that's a long story we won't get into. But the other part about finishing, let's say you see you're at the end of the race, right, and there's at 3-hour mark. If somebody comes in at 3 hours and he passes the line and throws up and all that type stuff and he's just in terrible shape. But 3 hours is a very good marathon. And yet somebody comes in 3 hours and 30 minutes later, and the guy is looking good. His knees are pumping out there, and he passes the line with a big smile on his face, and everybody says, wow, that guy's in really good shape. And yet he finished 30 minutes early.
Right.
So whatever you do, look good when you finish.
Yeah, I can't promise that. Might not want to check my pants either.
Doesn't look good when he starts, so finishing's not going to be much better.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
If I finish, I won't care how I look.
Jerry, the
I like that
the Mark Twain of marathon story.
So you're not convinced that
I
you're
like
going to finish?
I like that whole theory about
I don't
last.
Think you can be convinced you're going to finish. Now, you would be because, you know, of your arrogance. But
if you've never done something,
there's a lot of people that
doubt.
Seize up You'll at finish. 20, You'll 21 finish. Miles, whatever. And, I mean, I think some of it's mental. There's definitely a mental. But I also think there's something to be said. You get unlucky and you get a cramp or you pull something, you know, and then all of a sudden you're dragging one leg essentially. And
well, yeah, I mean, if you have an injury, but just make sure you're hydrated, you having your carbohydrates the day before.
I'm going to try all that.
Yeah.
I'm feeling better. Every one of these
Are you
going
to go to the big pasta dinner in Boston?
I don't know because it's kind of a hassle for me to get up and back and back. I have to go up at some point to get my number, obviously, to pick that up. I think Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I don't have it.
That's why Andy spends all of his time in Indianapolis.
I mean, Stacey James doesn't get that for you.
On the bus. While walking slowly up and looking. But I'm getting more confident with every long run. I will say that.
Like I did still 15 don't understand why they don't make you run the whole thing in the training.
I don't know, Eric. Ask Hal Higdon.
I don't know.
Well, once
Hal
you
Higdon.
Do that, though, I think you'll be.
The 20?
Yeah. When you complete your training for the marathon, I think you're going to know mentally. I can do
the other
marathon.
Thing is, I've so far everything I've done has felt essentially the same. You know, I've done every training mile under 9 minutes, and every time I finished the last two or three were my fastest miles. Like I would finish strong. I feel like I could finish, and that included 15. You know, 15 miles. I finished well, so that if I were like dying to get to 13 or dying to, I would be worried, but everyone has felt good. So I think the program is working. It's building me up properly, it feels like, anyway. I can just see the freaking twinkle in your eye. What do you want to say?
No, because I know what's going to happen. If you somehow do get a cramp and you don't finish, it's going to be
I can just see Andy lying on the side of the road, and that guy with that pushes his son in the wheelchair picks Andy up and he's pushing the two of them. Andy's head is like, you know, uncontrollable bobbing.
Then he can have a story like Jerry in California. I finished my first one in a
wheelchair. Chevy.
Well, but to me, that's where the mental really comes in. I think a lot of people that train for a marathon, you can do it. But what happens if you pull a muscle? You know, Steve Buckley from the Boston Herald did it a few years ago, and he said somewhere around 19 or 20, he pulled something, strained something. He actually fell down, and somebody was helping him stretch, and he finished. Yeah. But he had he dragged it the whole way, and it took him 6 hours or some ridiculous time. To me, that's the mental. That final 5 miles of absolute misery. It's not the 20 miles of feeling good, or even, you know, Heartbreak Hill. If you're still normal running, if you haven't been injured yet. To me, now it's like, wow.
What if you run some of it backwards so you're using other muscles?
I don't know.
Just hop on the tee.
Hal Higdon hasn't told me to do that, so I'm not doing it. I'm putting my faith in Hal Higdon.
Who the hell is Hal Higdon?
Who the hell is Hal Higdon? That's a lot of I don't know. Everybody says he's good.
He's the godfather of marathon training.
I mean, he's a former marathoner. You know, lots of marathons, lots of very good finishes.
How much pad time do you have in the schedule?
Like, I love pad time.
Because
I knew that was coming.
In New England, we have snowstorms. You have ice on the roads.
Yeah, it's hard.
If you don't have access to a gym and can't run on a treadmill, how do you make up for time that you lose?
Everybody says you can't lose the long one. You can kind of tweak the midweek ones, the fours, the eights, whatever. But you have to make sure you get your long one the Saturday or even if you have to bump it to Sunday. I did that one day and. But I've been lucky so far.
So you have to do one long run a week?
What are you averaging per mile time-wise?
8:40.
That's pretty good.
Well, it's under 4 hours. So that would be...
That's pretty good.
I mean, that would be wash my hands, never doing it again. Very happy to live on that number. Yeah. You know, those guys that don't run at their pro day, they'll stand at what they did at the combine. That's what I would be doing. I'd never do another.
Next thing would be climb the Blue Mountains?
No.
No?
No, I'm going to be like Eric and just go right to the Everest, having never climbed before.
LT from Adelaide writes in.
Would you be resolute in your ability to do so?
Hello, men of PFW.
Because then you'd be like,
and I went with the Everest climbers who started climbing around the world. They invented climbing.
He'd do it, but the trip would be in a helicopter, and they'd just drop him off at the summit. Firstly, I want to say that you guys make the off-season highly entertaining and enjoyable. I especially enjoy Andy's rants on first world problems. I want IP radio, and I want it now.
it's like Jim Harbaugh, that
yeah, the cake.
Right.
I want cake now.
Fred dropping knowledge about Boston sports radio. Eric pooping his pants because he's going to be eaten by a hippo in Africa.
And or Paul, a cobra.
And Paul planning to eat Eric in Africa.
Wow, that's not right.
I have an observation regarding our defense.
That's funny. Not like you.
Come on, I'm funny.
One-trick pony.
Yeah, but even that one trick still gets you occasionally.
I have an observation regarding our defenses in the glory years, Super Bowl winning years. And now, I think that our defense lacks all-around talent, but when I watch our pass defense, I think that they are more concerned with reaching certain spots on the field rather than playing football. In the past, we had guys like Ty Law, Rodney Harris, and to some extent, Sonny Samuel, who would cheat zone coverage and make that important play. I think those guys didn't necessarily do what Bill exactly wanted and schemed on the play, but they made football plays.
They were playmakers.
I guess that explains why Bill loves McCurdy. He schemes for him to stay deep and tackle a receiver after he makes the 30-yard catch. My question relates to the Colts last year and Peyton Manning. If I remember correctly, Peyton was released and then signed with Denver as a free agent.
Yes. You don't remember, like, the tour and the people trying to recruit him?
It was Arizona. Denver. It was Miami.
Right. Did the Colts release him Tennessee. Because of a bonus which would have counted against the cap?
Yes.
If you were the Colts GM, would you have taken the cap hit in order to get some value in trading Manning? Would New England be in the same situation if Brady had a career-threatening injury and we ended up with the number one pick?
But what would they have traded him for? They already had the number one pick.
And they also, who's going to trade? It was like $28 million or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done
number.
It because now.
And I think
you're absorbing a $28 million cap hit to get a couple of draft picks. I mean, even if you got two ones.
But it basically handcuffs two teams. The team that keeps them and the team that wants to trade for him has to have $28 million in cap.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think
cap hit goes with the team that.
Well, what kind of bonus was it?
I think it was a roster bonus that
it
they
was,
had to cut
it was
him.
A poison pill. Let me tell you, Manning's contract.
So I think that, you know, for the other team, it would have been fine.
No.
But you're absorbing a $28 million cap hit for a couple of draft picks.
Yeah, why would you
not
do
worth
that?
It. That makes no sense.
Maybe that's not worth
Manning's
it.
Manning's contracts, ever since he was a rookie, were trend-setting contracts.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were, and like Paul said, that was basically a poison pill. And that, you know, I think it's Tom Condon was.
Well, there was nothing wrong with the contract until he got hurt and didn't play.
Right.
That's why it became. I mean, I would have had no problem if I'm the Indianapolis Colts.
But for any team that had an issue, this contract protected Peyton Manning.
Well, that was how the Colts structured it so they could get some relief.
Yeah,
and they wouldn't have to give it to him all at once. And he happened to get hurt in the meantime. It's just like with Brady's tiered signing bonuses that he's had here, that you don't give it to him all at once. I think it was $26 million, Andy. And it was like 14 and 12 at different times.
That's and one just, was like after the lockout.
Yeah, it was the same kind of deal. It just Brady wasn't hurt, so it was a no-brainer. Obviously, Robert was going to pick up the bonus, and he was going to stay here because he's still one of the best.
Yeah, but you don't know the
Manning
future.
Was completely an unknown last year at this time. No one knew if he was going to be able to play, and the Colts had that benefit, that added knowledge that I have the number one pick and is a franchise quarterback. This year, who knows? They probably would have picked up that option if it were this year.
Right,
because who are you going to pick?
That would have been a crappy situation.
A guard? Like Andy said, might go number one?
Yeah, there's a good chance that either an offensive or defensive lineman is going number one overall. And a lot of people think it's going to be an offensive lineman. Either the tackle out of A&M or there's the tackle out of one of those Michigans, Eastern, Central, Western.
So there's so many things that worked for the Colts in that situation that might, you know, very easily could have gone... Made that a disaster.
Now, Manning made out okay, too.
Oh, yeah. Manning ended up going somewhere else, and he got all the money that he would have gotten in Denver.
So,
and by the way, I think he's got another bonus that he's getting soon, right?
Something. He's basically on, like, one-year deals with Denver or something. It's to sort of protect them. They worked.
Yeah, they have a bonus that they have to pay now,
and,
which is, you know, like a $20 million bonus again. So he's going to get all the money he would have gotten from the original
and
deal.
He, as Fred said, the guy's got, hundreds of millions of dollars from his NFL contracts.
Right. John in South Carolina says, I've heard you guys say that Wendell had a great year. What makes you say that? I'm asking that because I honestly don't know how to tell if the center is doing a good or bad job. That being said, I rewatched the Pats-Ravens game, and Vollmer looked horrible. seemed to me that Connolly was getting pushed straight back without much resistance. I know Vollmer was injured. Was Connolly injured as well? And he also says, I'm going to pledge $30 to Andy's run. I will pledge $50 if Andy can go the next show without making an innocent comment into a dirty comment. Can you do
it? Oh, no, you're not, no, you'll never get
so
that.
So 30 will do it.
C.O. Andy Hart.
Vollmer and Connolly, and Wendell is his question. What makes people say Wendell had such a great year?
Well, I think part of it is he played 16 games, and you didn't notice him. He didn't get flagged all the time. He wasn't responsible. There weren't a lot of sacks of Brady up the middle.
Center at quarterback exchanges.
Right, no center at quarterback
exchanges. But you also didn't see him getting killed. I mean, we've seen times, you know, Chris Jenkins would bitch slap Dan Copen every once in a while, or Sean Ellis bitch slapped Dan Conley a little bit a couple of years ago. I mean, there are certain games where you say, ooh, he's just getting pushed around.
Right.
I don't really remember saying that about Wendell all last year.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm going off of what a lot of the stuff that I've read about him in terms of the Pro Football Focus types that
but you watched
that
the
break
games.
It down.
You didn't see him getting killed. You would have noticed him getting killed.
I didn't see any difference between him and anybody else, and he's been widely considered to be the Patriots' best lineman last year.
Oh, wait. What?
Better than anyone else in the league?
No, the Patriots' best lineman.
Oh, I wouldn't agree with that. Who said that?
Yeah, well, that's a lot of the analysis.
When you factor in health and durability and consistency, because Solder had a little rough start early, but I would say Solder was the
best
lineman.
To me, for the job you have to do, it's Solder.
Oh, if you factor that into it, it's different.
Anybody can play center. You punch a body in there between two guys and don't screw it up.
Yeah, so
I mean, they proved that last year.
Maybe the bottom line is
plugged in there.
Maybe the bottom line is that, look, you don't want to diminish the role of the center, but if you're capable, you can get by.
Like, I never thought Copen was all that good.
Right.
I thought he got by playing with some good guys around him, was on a good offense, a good line. He was fine. He was capable.
Yeah.
But I didn't think
How many centers are in the Hall of Fame? Like three?
I don't know.
Something like, I don't know.
Well, they're all Steelers.
The kid from Miami.
Jim Otto.
Yeah. Stevenson.
Mike
Webster.
Dwight
Webster. Yeah. Jermoni Dawson.
Yeah.
There's not a lot.
They're adding up.
Yeah.
There's four off the top of our heads.
And they're centers, so which means there's a lot more we don't have on the top of our head.
Right.
Russell writes in.
I couldn't name starting centers in the league right now.
He says he would tag Tlaib, keep McCurdy at safety.
The brothers.
He would release Welker and Lloyd.
Yeah.
And then what would you think of then moving Vereen, Edelman, or Hernandez to situational slot roles, and we could have enough money to sign Vollmer and bring in Wallace?
So we'll move Hernandez to the role he plays now? Is that what he wants to do?
Situational slot role.
That's when he starts talking fast.
Here we go.
The situation being that's what he does already?
Shane Vereen is not an option to me.
No, not at wide receiver.
No, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. He's definitely an option to me in the role that he's in.
Yeah.
But I think that we do this all the time. We take guys that can do something pretty well for the position they play, and we extrapolate that into being that they can play that position. Like, Aaron Hernandez, you know, runs like a wide receiver. No, he runs very fast for a tight end. That doesn't make him a wide receiver. You know, Shane Vereen catches the ball really well for a running back. That doesn't mean that he can run routes like a wide receiver.
Right.
So we can just plug him into the slot and have the same thing. Listen, there's exceptions to all of these rules. Some guys, they change positions and they become better at, you know, Julian Edelman is now a wide receiver. He never played the position before in his life.
Right.
It doesn't mean that every single guy can do that.
A guy like Vereen, the more you have him catching balls, the more teams are going to catch up with him. It's when you get him in that spot that he can excel. But,
what happens if Darrell Revis is covering Shane Vereen?
Right.
Can he get open?
He's out of the picture.
Because Wes Welker could, because he was a wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between doing something well for the position you play and then playing that position.
Moving Ben Watson to wide receiver. Didn't they want to do that?
That's the deep threat. Remember, that'll be our deep threat.
Ben Watson?
Yeah, you don't remember that in 06?
They
don't need a deep
threat
because Ben Watson was the revolutionary tight end. These are the kinds of things that happen. He's fast and athletic for a tight end.
Disregard the fact that he couldn't catch.
But he was disappointing because he didn't catch the ball as well as he should have.
Now, Mike Wallace is fast and athletic for a wide receiver. I mean, that's elite speed right there.
But he's not a good route runner.
To date. He's getting better, isn't he?
I hope, but didn't last year.
Gearing up in case the Patriots sign him.
They had some issues last year, too, and some of the stuff that's coming out now, but they had a tough locker room, evidently. People criticizing.
Has there ever been a good locker room when Todd Haley was involved?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mike in Copenhagen says, I was lucky to get seats just behind the Patriots bench in the London game at Wembley. Watching the game live, I realized how much is going on outside the camera, like warm-up and coaching. Even though it wasn't Foxborough, it was an excellent opportunity for a European-based Patriots fan to watch a game. Loved every minute of it, and it didn't hurt that the Rams got steamrolled. Yeah, there is a lot that goes on that sideline.
You see some guys peeing sometimes and things like that.
Worse than that, Larry Izzo.
I've never seen the pooping.
Larry Izzo claimed he did it.
I've seen the peeing.
And was given a game ball as a result. The coach said, just because you got away with that without me knowing it, they gave him a game ball.
And he was, I wonder if he had his wipes with him, because he was very sensitive. He used to always bring wipes with him to the bathroom.
Yeah, he had the wipes in one hand and the paper under the arm in the other. That was Larry Izzo staple.
And the uncomfortable socks with the flip-flops.
Right.
I never understood that, the toe thing in the
sock. The thong.
Yeah.
Fred does it.
I don't. Not with the toe thing. It's an open
you
sandal.
You just have the open sandal. He had the thong in the flip-flop.
Thong.
Mike also says, I read this year's draft class as good overall depth, considering Patriots only have 5 picks. Do you think Belichick will trade down in order to get more?
Oh, God, please no.
I would love to see the Patriots
the answer
get...
I would say, yeah, he'll probably try to add some picks.
You know, when we need playmakers, you generally get those lower in the draft, not higher.
I didn't say I want to. I just said that with 5 picks, it's probably a good bet that he'll try to add a couple.
The best players are 5 to 25, so we'll trade down.
I would love to see the Patriots get a big, fast receiver like Cordarrelle Patterson from Tennessee. What are the odds of him sliding to 29? He is ranked number 2 in the wide receivers on NFLDraftScout.com.
Well, that's one of those interesting things is, A, there's not really a consensus, I don't think, yet about receiver. There's not like an A.J. Green. There's not a Calvin Johnson.
No.
And then the more of these offensive linemen and defensive tackles that go, well, these other things get pushed down, receivers or whatever.
Yeah, what was the number they had out there for front 7 guys? Potentially,
pretty
20,
high.
20 of them possibly in
it's
the first round.
Ridiculous. And then you throw in, all these tackles and guards, and all of a sudden the second best receiver is available at 29, or
you might not have to move at all.
We won't have quarterbacks to push people down this year, that's for sure.
You never know. Geno Smith, Matt Barkley.
But you're probably right.
I still think Barkley will go high.
Think Smith and Barkley are going in the first round.
You might get one or two to go, but I think that. Whereas you used to see, a Ryan Tannehill all of a sudden pop up and, Jake Locker all of a sudden pops up. I think teams are going to look, wisely or not, I don't know, but they're going to look at a guy like Russell Wilson and Andy Dalton and say, let's try to move up in the second round and grab Ryan Nassib or one of those guys and try to go the quarterback route that way. I don't know if these guys can play. This might just be a weak quarterback class, and someone's going to get drafted, regardless, way higher than they should. And I kind of look at Geno Smith as that. I don't know why. I don't think that he's as good as...
I don't love him.
I mean, he's got the size. He's got some of the characteristics that seem to be coming into popularity now with the mobility and the big arm. And he's got good... He's like 6'3", too. He's got pretty good size.
Oh, yeah. He looks the package.
Yeah. So... He had a really strong start to the season, but then he really tapered off, almost like they figured him out a little bit.
Brendan in the UK has a few either ors and over unders for us. More important to draft, a pass rushing defensive tackle or a safety?
Safety.
Safety.
Now remember, pass rushing defensive tackle rather than a two gap technique.
I'd still say. I'm
all set at pass rushing defense.
More important to keep, Wes Welker or Sebastian Vollmer?
Welker.
More important to the team in 2013, Aaron Hernandez or Chandler Jones?
Chandler Jones.
I think that depends what happens with Welker, honestly. Mm.
If Hernandez is important,
good, Fred.
You're in trouble.
No, I mean, seriously, if there's no Welker, that puts more of an onus on Hernandez.
Yeah, and he won't be able to live up to it, so it's...
Wow. And he's just.
But I guess that's important if he fails miserably.
By November, he's like, well, he'll be saying, last year I said he was going to be great, and now he's great. So,
here's the statement I'm going to put on the table.
Okay, oh, well, okay, let's hear it.
If he stays healthy and catches balls thrown to him, he'll be fine. Okay. That's all I'm saying. But so far, he can't do those two things. Right?
More important to the team in 2013, Stephen Ridley or Devin McCourty?
McCourty.
Depends.
That's
on
a tough one.
Depends on whether or not they draft a safety.
Beyond Gronk and Brady, any comparison between an offensive player and a defensive player, I'm going defense.
because they're still the weaker of the two.
Right. They need to be better.
Better free agency pickup, Charles Woodson or Ed Reed?
Ed Reed.
Better offseason pickup, Percy Harvin or Danny Amendola?
Harvin. Holy disrespectful to Percy Harvin.
Biggest threat in the AFC East, Dolphins, Jets, or Bills?
Dolphins.
Have to be Dolphins.
I probably agree.
Yeah,
you have
too.
A quarterback.
You have the most stable
closest.
Quarterback. Which is kind of
I would
to,
say so.
I know Andy doesn't agree with me, but my boy, it's a northeastern world. My boy Joe Philbin's going to surprise you. I think he's going to be a good coach.
If you guys want to compete this week, we'll compete this week. This isn't a dictatorship. If you don't want to compete, we'll take the week off and we'll get back out there next week.
I think
he already did better
coach.
Than I thought he was going to do.
Yeah, so. But you had low standards.
I did.
Okay.
Not as low as yours.
Season. Right.
Over under.
Plenty of guys have had okay first years
That's
and they were
true.
Going in the right direction until they were fired.
I think he's going to be a good
Josh
coach.
McDaniels.
Everybody. Yeah.
That's all. I think he's going to be
That's
a good coach.
That's because you're biased. I'm not. I'm objective.
I also noticed a drop-off. Not a drastic one, but a drop-off in that Green Bay offense without him.
Over under, Belichick draft day trades, 3.5.
Oh, please, under.
Under.
3.5 trades?
Yeah, undrafted.
Under, that's a lot of trades.
Over under, Brady future
picks.
Super Bowl.
Plus, Reed has high picks now, so they can't just swap picks for willy-nilly reasons, because Kansas City picks top of every round.
Now, this should be an investigation if we just swap picks with Kansas City, and all of a sudden we're picking first.
Over under, Brady future Super Bowl appearances, 1.5.
Under.
First to
Wait,
leave
do the... you actually find that surprising?
No. First to leave the Patriots, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Brady.
Tom Brady.
Belichick.
Really?
So biased.
Wow.
Not what you want to happen, what you think is going to happen.
More likely occurrence, Fred thinking the Patriots will go to the Super Bowl next season or Eric falling for a girl in Africa?
African girl.
Fred.
I Wait, mean, more likely?
More likely.
Yeah,
Fred.
No, you'll fall.
No, Fred says that every year.
But you'll fall.
And every
fall
time you
someone.
Leave this room, you fall for a girl.
Right.
So especially it's a push.
When, especially when you're out of the country.
Because yours is going to happen first.
You're out of the country.
And if you add in animals, it's a surety for
he
him.
He said more likely to happen, not what's going to happen
What are your
first.
Feelings on bestiality?
Oh, stop.
Some really, lions are cute.
It really takes it to a bad place all the time.
Yeah. I'm not saying you have to go up
stop it.
A Paul-like
stop it.
Hippopotamus.
Just stop it.
Enough.
Oh, that guy called you a hippo.
He's funny. You're
no,
not.
You just called him one.
You never seen a gorilla? One of those red-ass baboons?
Stop. Really?
Boy, I'd like to take a...
No, oh, ahead. My God.
That was like us when we would slide around in the shower.
No, that's nothing like that.
Red ass baboon.
You were stretched ass baboons.
Oh, see now, again, you know.
You were like Warren Sapp. What penetration?
I'm just thinking, like, he goes, that's like us, red ass baboons. Oh, man.
You think anybody else in that group, like, tells their coworkers or, like, that story?
I don't know.
Or...
I don't know.
I'm going with no.
I think that's one of those things you just file away, and the only time you talk about it is if you see somebody else that was involved.
Like or, if,
those...
or if you're on a psychiatrist's
right.
couch.
Therapy. Laying down.
This one
How
time...
do you know this isn't it for me?
Was this one time that I told 250,000 people
that I got naked and slid around and banged into little boys' asses?
This is a form of therapy for me, I would say.
It's not working.
Todd writes in, remember back when Eric offered to help Paul with his novel? He then decided to do better and start his own. I can't believe Eric hasn't decided to help Andy with the marathon by doing it better. Fred, I missed most of last week's show. Did you answer the question who was the first host of Patriots Video News?
Oh, you didn't, did you?
Oh, you didn't.
And no one else did either.
No.
The first host was a woman named Caroline Jones.
Oh, I was going with Anthony Moretti.
No, Caroline Jones out of the PR department.
Teabags.
Back then it was called Patriots Cyber Sideline.
Cyber Sideline.
Right.
Care for that.
I don't care for that.
You were the first, right?
We were the first nightly.
Got to say it right.
Made for the internet video.
Yeah. That had clothing.
That had clothing.
That had been porn before.
He's laughing and farting at the same time. I hear him. He like giggles and he farts at the same time.
I didn't actually.
What?
I didn't.
Like, no, not this time.
No, no, I'm very open when I do.
You sounded just like Will and TJ.
Yeah, we
I
know
didn't,
you're very
Dad.
Open.
Yeah. I didn't.
This has been a very settled show. That cheese sandwich settled nicely.
I guess so.
It's a miracle.
You got all the farts out
it's
of the
It's a miracle worker.
Melvin from Tennessee.
No cookies, that's the one drawback for the change.
Yeah, that's true. They must have some kind of dessert there.
Probably those gross brownies that are prepackaged.
Yeah, those Mrs. Barton's or whatever they call it.
They have like a horse carriage or something on them.
Or Lawler. I forget. some name for those ones.
They're like inedible in that you eat it and you still take in the fat.
But the good thing about it is if there ever is a nuclear attack and you put them in your bunker, they'll be good for like 20 years.
They'll still be bad. But
Melvin from Tennessee, how many of our defensive starters would start on most teams in the league?
Three.
Spikes, Denner, Ninko, all these players are good in my opinion. I just think they would be even better if their roles were decreased.
I get that. What you're saying.
But you can't make a blanket statement.
No.
I mean, are they going to start on the Niners, or are they going to start on the Jags, or are they going to start on the... I need to know.
And I'll tell you, another one of these things that I'm sort of coming around to Fred's line.
Like one of the guys, Gerard Mayo, he wouldn't start on the Niners.
Right. No, you're right.
But he's one of your better defensive players.
But I do think that one of your points, I don't think there are a lot of really good defenses. Like even the good defenses, to me, they're not that good.
Right. Yeah, they're one stretch tricep away from going down the tube. Like
personnel-wise, there are teams that have better personnel than the Patriots on defense. There's no question about that. But I don't think they're that good. I think most of the teams now, the good teams, are getting around their offense, and they get by on defense.
Clinton, Virginia, wants to know what the chances of Alphonso Dennard going to jail.
I don't think they're very good, are they?
Not very good.
I can't imagine that they're very good.
I think it depends on his comportment from this point on, and including the trial. If he was a jerk and not, you know, sorry at all for even making a mistake, I think they might be a little hard on him, give him 6 months.
I generally assume it's fixed.
Yeah, I mean,
Nebraska. I mean,
first time
Osborne went on to be like the head
of
Nebraska.
I always think about it with athletes in general, like Fred says, unless, you know, it's like a Pac-Man Jones kind of thing.
Right. But even more so there, like they say, like when that stadium is full, it's the biggest city in Nebraska. Like, they're all Cornhusker fans. I mean, the judge has probably got Cornhusker underwear on.
Raphael says, based on what the situation is with the cap and the need on the team, especially offense, I want each of you to put on your general manager's hat and tell us what you would do with the receiver position or situation, he says. Personally, I think once and for all, we have to have a true, big, fast, physical, deep threat, even if it takes letting Welker walk. I would also replace and upgrade Lloyd's position.
Mm-hmm. I'd sign Welker, and I'd draft a big, speedy outside receiver.
I would try to get Mike Wallace, and if that fails, I would go the draft route.
Yeah. I don't want to sign a guy for $100 million. I want to get my guy for four years and cheap money. Well, you're not going to get in. People
He's
overpay for all those
million.
Receivers.
He's
you're
going to
spend 60. I'm not spending 60 on a risk. I'd rather take the risk with my first round pick. I saw Mayock was on my Baylor guy, huh? I saw a lot of headlines that he wants him.
I didn't see that. I'm going to have to print out the top fives, which might include seven.
Oh, at least
at each position. That's a staple for the combine too.
And the scroll down below.
Tones writes in. Nice job, Andy, on the Playmakers Wanted article. While I completely agree with you, I think part of the issue might be the underlining talent on the team at some positions.
Your commentary in the last issue.
And trust within the organization. Belichick always says that we need to coach better when they lose, which I think he infers to mean put players in position to make plays and execute. I don't think the coaches see the talent in the players to trust them in situations to make plays and thus don't put them in optimal position. For instance, when the D sent Harrison, Vrabel, McGinnis on a blitz, there was a level of trust that they would get there and the back end would cover long enough to allow it. Your article seems to identify the playmakers on the team in the past were more evenly split between offense, defense, and special teams. Today, they seem to be concentrated on one side of the ball, offense. It reminds me a little bit of Sox teams of the past that could hit a ton but not special with their gloves and weak with the pitching. I think they've turned the corner with their D in the last draft, but need to develop those three starters and find some more.
And it's not just me. I heard Ted Johnson was very good on Felger and Maz at the Super Bowl talking about his view from afar. He's now doing radio in Houston. And, you know, he said when we were out there, you know, there'd be one. You'd have a game plan and you'd come in and they'd but you'd also, we were veteran enough, we'd see something and talk amongst ourselves and talk amongst the coaches and say, we think we should be doing this, or this is an adjustment we need. You know, I don't think there's too many guys on this team that are ready, willing, and able to do that kind of thing. And the guy talked about earlier, it looks like they're just trying to get to the spot they're coached to be at. I think they are. I think they're just trying to do my job. They don't have enough confidence to say, yeah, but I think, you know, Ty Law, if he thinks the ball's going there, well, he's going there. Regardless of what he was told to do, he's going to where he thinks the ball's going.
And that's pretty much what Samuel's career is built on.
Yeah.
is you watch him do his job on tape, and you're probably looking at this guy with terrible technique and a risk taker and whatnot, but he's has great instincts. And remember the clip that I always remember in the 06 AFC Championship game in Indianapolis. Peyton Manning talks about that pick six that Samuel had, and I think the way he put it, he goes, "I always pride myself on not getting fooled on the football field." He got me on that play. He fooled me on that play. He wasn't supposed to do what he did.
Right.
But you don't see a lot of those kinds of plays in recent past with the Patriots defense. And part of that is because they're not good enough, but the other part of it is what Andy's talking about, what Ted Johnson said about just having that feel and that ability to make a play when a play is available.
And maybe that's the year two drop. You know, maybe you know they come in with some swagger and the swagger is coached out of them. Because, you know, a lot of these guys appear to be confident athletes. I mean, Darius Butler was a two-way player, you know, great athlete. You know, Dennard seems to have a little bit of swagger to him. I wonder what he'll be next year when he comes back after an offseason, hopefully not in prison, and see how they react. Because I think you have to have the swagger. To play pass defense, there's some swagger involved. Just like the quarterbacks have swagger that... I can throw this in there. The defender has to have some swagger to him. And I don't think they have a lot of guys that have a lot of confidence in their athleticism and their ability. They're just trying to be where Bill told them to be.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this show. Remember, tomorrow, Andy and Paul are off to Indianapolis for the Combine. So they'll call in on Thursday. And, of course, you'll be able to read all this stuff on Patriots.com as well as below. He'll be down there and posting Patriots Today's from the Combine. So
and Twitter.
A lot of activity on Twitter. A lot of activity coming from the Combine on Patriots.com for you this week. Eric and I will be here Thursday. We'll get Eric prepped for his big trip to Africa.
Death Safari.
People can send their best wishes because it may be the last time we ever hear from him.
So he'll never know the schedule.
So that's a good show for Thursday. Reminiscences of Eric.
Yes. Yes.
What's your favorite Eric memory?
What's your favorite
Eric
memory?
It's going to be a short show.
All right. We'll see you Thursday.
Hot dogs and sausages.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.